This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
University in Hempstead, New York. Tune in at 7 for a debate pre-show as well as post-show analysis directly following the event. The debate will be moderated by Bob Schieffer, CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent and host of Face the Nation. This debate airs live on the first night of the KPFT Fall Pledge Drive. We'll take brief breaks during the pre- and post-show to ask for your financial support, but we'll bring you the debate uninterrupted. Please consider making a pledge that night in support of independent media. Again, tune in Wednesday, October 15th, starting at 7 p.m. for the final presidential debate featuring Republican John McCain and Democrat Barack Obama, right here on 90.1 KPFT Houston.
Charles Brown, the late great pianist, has been heralded as one of the most influential blues artists of our time. Hey, this is the Blues Hound inviting you to join us on Saturday, October 25th, as the City of Tech City honors the life and music of blues pioneer Charles Brown. The musical celebration kicks off at 2 p.m. with Sparky's Jazz Express, and is followed by the Zydeco Dots, voted Best Zydeco Band at the Houston Press Music Awards. Next up, a local favorite, Blind Pig recording artist Hamilton Loomis, coming in from the Crescent City with a healthy dose of New Orleans funk, John Cleary, the absolute monster gentleman. And last but not least, from Crowley, Louisiana, serving up a healthy gumbo of rock, Cajun, and rhythm and blues, would be Wayne Toots and Zyda Cajun. Once again, that's the Charles Brown Music Festival, Saturday, October 25th, 2 to 10, Nestor Park in Texas City. Arts and crafts, children's area, free admission and parking. Take I-45 South to exit 16 and into Texas City. Sponsored in part by 90.1 FM, KPFT Houston.
We'll be right back. is what you get every time. What you see is what you get. It blows my mind. What you see is what you get every time.
Every time.
What you see is what you get. It blows my mind. What you see is what you get.
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Stay.
You're not supposed to do that with it.
It's like my life. It won't could stay around. Ha! Fooled ya. Hello, Houston, Galveston, and the world. Happy coming out day.
Like Jimmy needed any help with that.
Who can I come out to?
Is there anybody left?
No.
My nephew was just born. that's right. Starting tomorrow, Jimmy will be at the nursery outing himself to all the newborns.
Go to the neonatal ward.
Those are the only ones who don't know, I guess. Oh, my. Anyway, you've tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude right here on KPFT Houston. I'm Jimmy Carper. I'll be one half of the executive producer for the evening. And
I'm trying to get another 4 weeks off. I'm
trying to introduce Chris, but he's jacking off his microphone right now.
I figured here, I'll turn the microphone this way so it sounds better. There we go. That should get us another 4 weeks. Vacation.
It just won't stay where he wants it.
Story of my life.
Yep. And you are who?
My name is Chris Harrison. Unless you're reporting me to the FCC, then I'm Sandy.
Yes.
No, I think the network lawyers know me now.
It's been a hell of a week. Yes, it has.
Yes, it's National Coming Out Day.
Yes, it is.
Which means I'm...
And I was reminded of that. I was telling somebody who... a younger person who was just enthralled that there was a coming out day. And I said, well, I advertised the first coming out day, which was in 1988, on the radio. And back then, it was about coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Because there weren't that many of us who were out. What a difference a generation makes.
I think today makes... It's either my 12th or 13th birthday.
Ah.
It's the day I went over to my parents' house and took my father's hopes and dreams and smashed them against the wall and piddled on the remains. But, you know, it's been a long time.
Yes, it has. This is the second Saturday of the month. And so we've got leather for you tonight. Sir Robert is here.
Yes.
Actually, Robert Tichy. Yeah. Sir Robert.
Sir Daddy Bear Robert T.
That's how it's... Sir Daddy Bear Robert T.
No, I think that's the sir. It says Daddy Bear Robert T.
Okay. Yeah, the protocol. Oh, well, you'll learn more about that in a little bit. But in the meantime, we want to joke and carry on and have fun and tell you about some of the events going on in the neighborhood. I had a wonderful experience this afternoon. I went to Mary's parking lot. The Flyboys were having a car wash. Now, you know who the Flyboys are? This is the dance troupe with very nice bodies who... You know, have little Speedos on, and they've got the flags going.
Of all the damn times for Falcon to put out a posting and not put an attachment on it.
See?
Bastard.
So I went over to Mary's parking lot this afternoon, where no less than 12 of these young men were splashing around with suds and water.
Suds and water or studs and water? Okay, Falcon, you better miss the HCC meeting on Wednesday, because I'm going to have to hit you for that, including a picture.
Oh, I thought of you so many times while I was there. Oh, if only Chris was here.
I'm big enough as a car, I could have him wash me.
Oh, and I left Judy stranded over at the GLBT Cultural Center. I had gone home because I'd forgotten something, and I was supposed to come right back. And I thought about the car wash, and I thought, 15 minutes. It took an hour. The best hour of my day. She was livid. It was worth it. I didn't care.
Aww. Poor Judy.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, GCAM has officially moved into the GLBT Cultural Center, which is officially the first floor of the building that is owned by the Montrose Counseling Center at 400 Bernard. So, and GCAM is the first organization to rent space there. So we're setting up stuff. We put up a display case that used to be at the community center, and we're going to be putting up the Lady Victoria Lust display case tomorrow, and then we've got some artwork that we've pulled from the archive that we're going through right now, and the entire first floor, all the artwork will be from GCAM.
Hmm.
Cool. Yeah, so we've been busy. In the meantime, we've been shoveling out Judy's house when we can get over there. Still a lot to go. But there's a lot going on in the community, too. With ICOH, next Wednesday is their ever-popular Midweek Madness show at 9 o'clock over at EJ's. That's kind of a fun, informal little show. Next Friday, that would be Friday, October the 17th,
a show called My, What Big Shoes I Have to Fill, a show to honor the hard work of our Reign 6 monarchs, Their Majesties Apollo Emperor Jeff Wallace and Gemini Empress Rose, hosted by Imperial Crown Prince Royal, Apollo Emperor Elect, Cubby Christopher Sparkles Boy Prado. Excuse me. That happens at 8:30 p.m. over at EJ's, 2517 Ralph Street.
Gee, Jimmy, that was so hard for you to say. You gagged in the middle of it.
Stop it. Stop it. I had too much Diet Coke here.
Yeah.
And then coming up next month, November the 21st, at the Crown Plaza Hotel downtown, is ICOH, a Space City Empire, is doing their Enthronement 7, From Goth to Grandeur, a Rocky Horror Holiday and Imperial Costume Ball, benefiting Bering Omega Dental Clinic and Hospice Programs, and honoring Apollo Emperor Jeff Wallace and Gemini Empress Rose. And, of course, every Wednesday night over at the fabulous Tony's Corner Pocket, you can see the incredible Tony's Corner Divas, which features Lillian Devereaux, Anne-Marie Gill, Selena St. John, Marsha Mink Gill, and Jessica Van Shelton. Now, let's see, coming up later today is Decadent Dessert and More. It's finally here, folks. October 12th, 2008, at South Beach, 811 Pacific, from 4 to 8 p.m. And after that, they're going to have dancing throughout the night. Sisters has invited comedian entertainer Vicky Shaw to the fall fundraising event to entertain you. You will not want to miss this. $30 in advance and $35 at the door. We welcome back our longtime restaurant and catering supporters, Carter and Cooley Restaurant, Jim Benton Catering, Amanda's Bake Shop, the Rainbow Lodge Restaurant, Acadian Bakery, Cafe Adobe, just to name a few. Cool. So get that $35 and get over there, because you are going to see food like you have never seen in your life. And then later on tonight at the BRB, the Brazos River Bottom, Sir Matt Gills from the
Empire of the Royal Sovereign Imperial Port of the Single Star, Inc., Houston, Galveston, United States, North America, Western Hemisphere, Planet Earth, Milky Way.
Sir Mel Gill's One Hit Wonder Show.
I was going to say, you forgot the galaxy. No, the solar system. You forgot the solar system. You gave us the Milky Way, but you forgot the solar system.
Okay. At the Brazos River Bottom. All monies will go to ARISA's Reign 24 beneficiaries, which are Legacy Community Health Services and Assist Hers. That should be a lot of fun. Songs that were one-hit wonders. Oh, there's so many good ones and so many bad ones.
From what decade?
What have you got going on over there?
I mean, consider you got William Shatner, the host of the show on One Hit Wonders.
Ooh.
Houston Pride Pant.
He wish he was a one-hit wonder.
Let me borrow your teeth, Jimmy. Mine are flipping.
Okay, here we go.
Houston Pride Band takes worldwide musical journey for the 2008-2009 concert season. On October 18th, the fall concert explores music from Europe, Africa, Asia, with a special stop in Las Vegas. God, it's going to be a night of Elvis.
Ooh.
This will be held at Resurrection MCC.
Wait, all the men are going to dress up as Elvis, and all the women are going to dress up as what? Celine Dion?
Mm. Oh,
she, doesn't she still have her Vegas show?
You ought to be happy it's not the opposite.
That skinny gorilla beating her chest music.
Oh, it's scary. Coming up further along than December 14th, the holiday concert once again unites the band and Resurrection MCC's Music Ministries. That'll be also at RMCC. For more information on the Houston Pride Band, you can go to HoustonPrideBand.org. As we like to say on here, remember, if you can beat it, bang it, or blow it, you belong in a band.
Woo!
Or at the Midtown.
We do like that.
The third annual Knights of the Round Table, Living with HIV/AIDS in Houston, will be at October 19th at the BRB. Food starts at 7, show starts at 8. EMCs for the night is Christopher Garrett and Anne-Marie Gill. All proceeds go to Legacy's Body Positive for new weight equipment.
Cool.
Reserve your table for a four for only $100.
Knights of the Round Table. I wonder what that kind of show that's going to be.
Cod pieces.
Ooh.
Lots and lots of chainmail.
Ooh.
There'll be free HIV, AIDS, and syphilis testing going on. This is through the Empire of the Royal Sovereign Imperial Court of the Single Star, Inc. And they take plastic. Howl-Oween Show on October 26th.
Howl-Oween.
Jimmy needs a lozenge, please.
Ricola.
Ricola.
Halloween show, October 26th at Tony's Corner Pocket. Benefiting Pet Patrol. Awards for best costume, pet and owner look-alike, best pet trick.
The costume is the costume on your pet.
Yes. Not on you. Please remember they're talking about dogs with four legs, not our human dog friends.
Oh, damn.
Hot dogs.
No, IPTC is in April.
For more, Pet Patrol is a 501c3 organization. You can find them on the web at thepetpatrol.org. Illuminations Project Award nomination. Each year, Illuminations Project gives out two awards for the tireless work given to AIDS education, awareness, and prevention. One award is given to the individual, the other is given to a business or organization.
Yes.
Need to send a nomination letter of who you're nominating and their contact information, length of service to the community, a personal achievements, geographical area, why you feel they're deserving. You can send this to Illuminations Project at yahoo.com. Nominations must be submitted by October 15th.
You know, that Illuminations Project thing is going to happen the first week in December. It's a celebration of World AIDS Day. And as I found out this afternoon, the Houston Flyboys will be doing a number in that.
Car wash?
You'll feel like you've been washed, I'm sure.
No, you just feel dirty.
Wash me clean, baby. Wash me clean.
Upstage Theater wants to remind you to Catch Me If You Can. Well, it's been rescheduled to January due to the Hurricane Ike damage suffered at Lambert Hall.
Oh, okay. That's right. So you'll have to wait to see the box, David Barron, as a priest. And you'll have to wait till January to see that.
I'm not sure if you've...
yes, they are.
But, you know, they also said that the motorcycle rally in Galveston was going to happen, and they canceled that.
Oh.
So,
but,
Galveston
Steven,
Island, yeah.
Stephen was on last week and saying that it's still on.
Yeah, well, the motorcycle thing was just canceled this past week.
Oh.
And I think it's around the same time.
Because it's next weekend, isn't it?
No, the 25th.
Oh, okay.
Galveston Island Pride Festival 2008 hopefully will be on Saturday, October 25th from noon to 6 p.m. We're going to try and find out some more about if it's still going on because Galveston had a slight little issue or two recently.
Yeah, like half of the island is gone.
Yeah. Are you saving that for last?
I saved this one for last.
Okay, good, because I had a life-altering experience this evening.
Yeah, that's a lot of life to alter.
I know it. I went to Stage Door, Inc., which some people refer to as Pasadena Little Theater, because that's where it is. And they are doing a production of the Laramie Project. And I was just blown away. It was one of the most professional small theater productions I've ever seen.
Yes, I mean I saw it last week and, you know, dragged down
half the
crew here to the show. And I'm glad to hear that the numbers in attendance have gone up for this final week.
Yes.
And
not as much as we would like. That theater should be full.
It's only 60 seats, people.
Yeah, and the people, you know, so many people in Pasadena could use that entertainment for the evening.
That education.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it was...
I was educated, and I thought I knew all about Matthew Shepard.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very moving production, and you have one more opportunity to view this play.
Mm-hmm.
3 o'clock this afternoon. The Laramie Project will be their final production. which is very interesting because today the 12th, this is the 10th anniversary.
This is the 10th anniversary of the event.
Of the death of Matthew Shepard. The assault occurred a couple days ago.
That's true, yes.
Occurred a couple of days ago, and now this is the 10th anniversary. In fact, if I remember correctly from the play, we're probably within 10 minutes now of the actual 10th anniversary of Time of Death.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very poignant play that I think really a lot of the younger people need to see. Because,
mm-hmm.
I talked to a friend of mine who, you know, when this happened, he was 9. I talked to someone here at the station who was older, didn't understand what the Laramie Project was about.
Wow.
What the story was. I remember that because, you know, I was here at the station at the time for when this incident occurred. In fact, at that time, I was part of Q Patrol, that we were still out there. And it's an interesting thing to realize that we've come in 10 years and where we haven't come in 10 years.
Well, we talk about that. We opened up and talked about National Coming Out Day, mm-hmm. which is October the 11th. And the first one was in 1988. And on October 12th, 10 years later, 1998, Matthew Shepard died. And at the time, I was really amazed at the world coverage that it received.
Yeah.
Because we were still in an era when it was, you know, such another fag died, big deal. But that changed everything. Everything.
It got
all of a sudden, it was not okay to kill fags anymore.
It got the world's attention.
Yeah.
And one thing we're going to talk about a little bit later when we get to Roundtable Times, there's a very interesting article in the Dallas Voice reminding people that before Matthew Shepard.
Mm-hmm.
There's Paul Broussard.
We had Paul Broussard.
That's right.
And it's like, that's when it should have happened.
In
Matthew Shepard should have never died. They should have done something when Paul Broussard was killed.
That's right.
Right here on
it
the
wasn't,
streets.
It wasn't the right time.
Yeah.
America
and
wasn't ready for it yet.
That's pathetic to say.
I know. Oh, I know.
But Paul Broussard was killed in the parking lot of the gay bar over on Pacific Street because he was gay.
Yeah.
So.
By a bunch of teenagers.
So it's
and nobody talks about Paul.
Yeah, but I say I'm glad to see that you know, the article on Paul Broussard was in the Dallas Voice, and I actually got to see it before Jack Valinsky posted it to Lone Star Activist, because it was actually on the one site that we use quite a bit for our stories, Toll the Road, which has covered a lot of stuff with Paul Broussard and recent developments with his killer. Was also covered on...
Well, the one that was actually convicted out of the 10.
The one who didn't get a slap on the wrist.
Yeah.
But once again, getting back to the Laramie Project, your last chance to see it is 3 o'clock this afternoon.
It is worth it, even if you don't know how to get there. MapQuest it. I did. I got lost on the way back. I don't care. It was worth it.
The easiest way to get directions is go to... look on the search on the web for Pasadena Town Center.
Yeah.
And that's the mall that they're in.
Yeah, and they're over by the Sears.
Give you good directions.
If you can see the Jack in the Box and Sears, you're right there.
Yeah, aim for the Jack in the Box, drive towards the flagpoles.
Yeah.
And it's the entrance just between the flagpoles and Sears.
Wasn't that kind of phallic?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Boo.
But their website is stagedoorinc.com. Tickets are only $15. There's an intermission. I think I got the cheapest snack bar in town.
Wow.
For their stuff.
And they've got some... I didn't bring it, but they've got some incredible stuff coming up next year.
Yeah. I got some...
Nonsense. And, you know...
I was teasing about the idea of having dancing and singing nuns.
Yeah, it's great.
Hey, dancing, singing nuns with poppers. I mean, if you have not seen Nonsense, you need to see it, especially the popper scene where the nuns do poppers. That's funny as hell.
They're also going to be doing Sordid Lives next year.
Yes.
The Wizard of Oz, Little Shop of Horrors. In fact, tomorrow after the show, after Laramie Project, they're going to start breaking things down and setting up for a Halloween haunted house.
Yep, that's their big fundraiser of the
down
year.
There.
And next Christmas, not this Christmas, but next Christmas of 2009, they're doing Nuncracker.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, this
are you going to be part of that, Chris? I know you still had your nun's habit from Louis last year.
They were talking to me about wanting to be a part of it. My problem is I have difficulty memorizing stuff lately.
Oh, just stand on stage and throw condoms like you did during Lily.
Is that senility?
Put on your nun's habit and throw condoms at people.
When I told them about the fact of when I saw it in the brochure, I go, yeah, you realize I played a bearded nun dancing in a go-go cage, throwing out condoms that say, smile, Jesus loves you. And
that was hysterical.
It was good.
So they were like, huh. But I don't know. It'd be interesting to... there's a lot of people say I ought to get into either theater or comedy, and I just don't know. I like being somewhat anonymous behind a microphone.
Do you know something you're talking about, because you work in Tomball? Well, when I left the theater to come home, I, of course, took a wrong turn and ended up driving somewhere, and then I came halfway back and stopped at a Chevron station.
In Bowling Green.
In Pasadena. To ask for directions, and the guy said, he gave a direction, he said, oh, it's easy. He said, I travel it every day. I live in Tomball. He lives in Tomball and works at a Chevron station in Pasadena. Hello. I hope he gets free gas.
Oh, my God.
It's...
yeah, can you imagine?
That's scary, though.
Hey, it's
getting
no worse.
So far from Tomball, like Pasadena.
Yeah, but you get all these people that live outside of Beltway 8 that work downtown. How's that any different?
I don't know.
Tomball, I mean, driving an hour to work every day, that drives me nuts.
That's
but I mean,
both
he seemed he seemed really cool. Like he didn't belong in either Pasadena or Tomball.
Did he belong in a cage in a nun's habit throwing condoms?
He belonged on the stage at Tony's Corner Pocket on Friday nights at 11.
Okay, so he did belong in a go-go cage, not in a nun's habit.
No, right.
Well, the twisted thing is at my work, we're talking about we're going to be getting company shirts. That's going to be a blue T-shirt with neon green printing on it.
Okay.
And I thought, I've got the perfect thing for it. I've got the Catholic schoolgirl cheerleader skirt. That's in blue and green.
Different shade of green.
I know, but, you know.
I can see you showing up in that one.
Oh, yeah. I told my coworkers I got matching pom-poms.
What do you mean a skirt? What do you mean it's a skirt? It's a kilt. I'm Scottish.
It's a man dress. It's... what do they call them? Morts? That's it. Man skorts? Morts? I mean, what?
Yeah, for the record, I do not live in Tomball. I only work there.
Okay.
I'm almost in the city limits of Houston.
He lives in Huntsville.
No, Willowbrook.
That's about as far.
Yeah.
Yeah. But see, that's the thing I love about my commute is, you know, it's 15 minutes and it's against the flow of traffic.
Yeah.
I'm heading out of the big city in the daytime and heading...
oh.
But, yeah, this, it means it's a 25-minute drive into the Montrose. And when I went down to the theater last week...
It took forever.
45 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, I used to go down to Pasadena to visit friends. So it was kind of like, okay, I kind of remember the area where I'm going. And then when you turn off the freeway and you're on the street, and it's like, oh, my God.
Can't they afford street signs?
I mean, it was like... And like, the bad part is it's not... at the mall, there's not an outdoor sign. And so it's a little difficult, you know.
To figure out where to park. And
yeah, I finally parked and asked the woman who was taking down the flags, the security guard, because it was late at night, she was taking down the flags in case somebody stole them, apparently, or they couldn't afford a light on them, and found out where the theater was. So it's,
yeah.
It's easy to get in there once you
Sears you're there. And the flagpoles, that's where the theater's at.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know that Pasadena actually had a mall.
I don't think they call it a mall. They call it a town center.
Yes.
It's a mall. It's got a food court and everything, and, you know.
My house has a food court.
It's called a kitchen.
Well, I guess we're going to Robert's house.
But, you know, like, I mean, like when we had the group here last week, I mean, the first question I had to ask them was, the Laramie Project in Pasadena? And the
director,
the players that were here were like just started laughing. And, you know, that's just where they're at. They're doing that play. And
yeah.
Okay, and those are the people that need to know.
They were really good, though. They were really good.
So you got to see the other cute one there.
There was several.
Yes. Well, the two of the performers are gay.
Only two?
Well, two gay, one lesbian.
That are openly gay. You've got Clay Gaken.
Oh. Now she's out.
No, Clay Gaken, he's doing the musical version of the Laramie Project.
Oh, my God.
He'll be in the Laramie musical.
But no, because I had to ask.
Mm-hmm.
Find out there afterwards. You know, the production, the board is mainly
family.
Yes.
Oh, okay, good.
In fact, the director and the technical director are a couple.
Yes, let's just out everybody.
Oh, please. It says in their book, in the
program.
Playbill?
Yeah,
playbill,
the playbill thing.
Program?
You
know, that they're gay?
Well, two of them say it.
Oh.
Okay.
I'm gay.
Like we didn't figure that out.
Well, I knew that.
Well, hopefully my lover knows that.
Yeah, I think I do. And we have a cute song we're going to play later on. You may have heard of a version of a song called It's Okay to Be Gay.
Yeah.
This is a completely different version.
Please tell me it's not going to be Houston Bernard, though.
No.
Okay. Or Johnny McGovern.
No.
Okay.
What was his name?
I don't know.
Liberace?
No, Jethro Lee something or something like that.
Jethro Lee Tull? It's the Pink Floyd version.
Trust.
It's 22 minutes long, but it's got a great guitar riff.
No, it's one of these things. I was teasing Jimmy that some of the music we played at the beginning here, I was listening to it at work.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you're listening to artists like Houston Bernard, Jay Spears.
Well, actually, Houston Bernard, I'm just amazed because, well, Scott, I can say Green. Artist.
Yeah.
I don't. But go ahead. Jake Spears, yeah.
Jay Spears.
Jay Spears. Different one.
We're not talking about the guy from
Scissors. Not Scissor Sisters, no.
Oh. That kid's got talent.
Yeah.
Kid?
Jake Spears, yeah, please.
He's a little older than kid level.
Okay, when you get to my age, everybody's a kid. Okay?
I beg your pardon.
Yeah, in gay years, Jimmy is a fossil and I'm a dinosaur.
He's hit gay middle age. He's 30.
Who is?
Oh, my
Jake
God.
Spears.
Oh, if you said Jimmy, I would have slapped you.
It's like I would have slapped
you. Yeah, 30 how many times over?
Yeah.
I'm 30? A decade and a half older. 30 times what?
It's the 30th anniversary of my 30th birthday.
Okay, but you know, he's 30. That means he now has to retire to the wrinkle bar because he, officially in gay world, he is old.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I said middle age, not middle ages.
Yeah.
I was listening... One friend of mine in the Big Men's Club tells me he listens to iTunes, a thing called Bear Radio.
Mm-hmm.
And so Friday, the boss was gone. Everyone else, there was only two of us left in the store. And she was working in the front, and I was back in the office. And I go, well, instead of Groove Salad, let me put on Bear Radio. And so I was listening to some of the different songs on there. And it was interesting. A lot of folksy music.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
On there.
There was lesbians that forgot to shave.
There was some there. I was surprised. It was called Bear Radio, and there was actually women artists on there.
Actually, I think we have that Jay Spears album.
We've got a couple of Jay Spears here.
Isn't that the one, that cute little blonde bear on the cover?
How am I going to remember the 2,000 CDs you have?
It's, well, because it's one of yours, actually, not mine.
Oh.
It's one of the nine that you bought.
So I looked up a couple of the artists, was trying to find information about them.
Uh-huh.
And one of them that I liked his song, was like, I think the song title was like Human Like Us or something like that. Went to his website, couldn't find anything gay about it, any mention of it, mm-hmm. any mention of that song. Another one actually had.
Nope, different album, okay. Jimmy was showing me the album cover. No, it's a different person.
Different artist. At least after you went to a couple different pages in, you saw a talk about his gay album called Bare Naked. But I couldn't find the song that he played that I liked on there. Then there was a lesbian duo that was in there that... Jimmy can't hear the snoring of the dog, but they wind up. Hold on. Here, now do it.
No, I don't mean to be rude, but whether a bear naked, what do lesbians know about bears?
I don't know.
Well, some of them have a lot of hair.
Wait, okay, except for Event Horizon, where you had Mama Bear and Baby Bear in that movie, but, you know, they all died at the end of the movie, so...
Well, you know, some of these hardcore lesbians just didn't shave, so apparently that's...
European?
Well, a little male hormones will help, too.
They're from France.
But now, and so it was interesting. Like I said, I did a little searching on some of these artists, and then I found the one guy who didn't say anything about his being gay or doing gay music. On his MySpace, someone had this video called It's Okay to Be Gay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's intriguing enough. I showed it to some of the guys here, and they were like, going, what? And then... got into it. But then again, I showed them the other version of It's Okay to Be Gay with a Harry Potter theme.
I'm sorry. Harry Potter, I'm not going there. Dumbledore, that whole thing, forget it. No, that's so...
Dumbledore?
That's very NAMBLA. I'm sorry. That's really... Well, now, did I bring September, the group September?
Yes, you've got that...
There's a song on their new... on her third... this is her third album, but there's a song in here called My Neighborhood. And the refrain of the song is that in my neighborhood, it's okay to be gay. And it's like, okay, you go, girl.
Yeah, there's this peppy version of real... We played it once before. I thought it was Scissor Sisters, but it's not. It's I forget what the group name is who does...
Scissor Staplers?
No.
Staple Sisters?
I'm sorry. I have problems with Scissor Sisters now that I found out what Scissor Sisters means. You know, it's a lesbian term.
Oh, come on. Haven't you seen South Park? Let's go scissoring.
I didn't think about that until I was on a gay music wiki loop.
Okay, but what do two males who are bottoms do? They scissor. They just
two
have
men
a,
that
they
are
have
tops.
A little they have a little toy in between, right?
Two men that are tops.
That's not scissoring. That's just kind of...
chiseling.
Poking pointers.
Chiseling. I like
chiseling.
That.
Chiseling. Okay.
That's the new term.
You need to trademark that and get a court every time somebody refers to it that way.
I like that. That was good.
Chiseling.
Chiseling.
Next on the New Yankee Workshop, a new way to chisel.
Great. You made coffee shoot out his nose. That was good.
Thank you so much for
I'm
that.
I'm glad I walked in.
Speaking of, I brought Milk Incorporated, too.
Watch as Norm Abram shows Tom DeSilva.
Oh, wait, wasn't that an episode of Home Improvement?
Oh,
what was his name? That little bear on Home Improvement?
Al Borland.
Borland, yeah. He was a hot little bear.
But he didn't like it that all the gay men liked him.
I know, because he was a homophobe.
Yeah, he was a homophobe. And it's so sad.
And then he replaced a big old queen on Family Feud.
Yeah.
The world goes round.
Yeah.
And now what is he doing? He's be a bingo caller on the Game Show Network.
Oh, is he really? Is that what he's doing now?
He's taking over for Patrick Duffy on Bingo America.
Oh, Patrick Duffy. I haven't heard that word, that name in a long time.
Oh, yeah. They needed somebody to fill a seat. And
Patrick Duffy. He went from playing one of the Ewings, one of the most famous TV families on Dallas, to, what was it? He played Aquaman or something like that?
That was prior to Dallas.
No, after that, he went and co-starred with Suzanne Summers as a new version of Brady Bunch.
That's right. That was horrific.
Yeah. Oh, let's watch that again.
Bad.
But, nah, the music we started at the beginning of the show with, because sometimes we forget to tell you, Naked Highway, Better Off Naked. And Houston Bernard, Mama lets her hair down. Any more opinions you have of Houston Bernard?
No, that's it.
You're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude. Let's just bring it in here.
And apparently I've got all the attitude tonight.
It's time for Leather Ties. We've already started kind of with it, talking about other things, but...
why don't we jam on some Milk Incorporated, the Breakin' song? That's cool.
I like it, you know. It's got that kind of, you know...
Well, I mean, did you read some of those song titles? This is their fifth album. I mean, some of the songs, shit, they do a great cover of Tainted Love, by the way, but they have songs like Go to Hell.
I want to hear Tainted Love.
I don't, me too.
Okay. You are Tainted Love.
No, he's just tainted. This penicillin can cure that. At least for now.
For the Great Pumpkin.
Yeah. Yeah, we're calling Virgin. We're calling Virgin the Great Pumpkin tonight because he's wearing a big old orange shirt and he's a big old red bear.
Yeah, but see, the problem is this: the Great Pumpkin, everybody wants to have around, but nobody ever sees him. That's not Virgin.
Virgin's the opposite. That's the whole point. And we got Charlie Brown out on the back patio. Charlie.
All right, so which one you want to play? The one you picked?
They want to hear Tainted Love. Let's do the Tainted Love cover, then we'll hit break, and then we'll come back after that and start with Weather Ties.
All righty. And I push this button.
Sometimes I feel I've got to run away. I've got to get away from the pain you drive into the heart of me.
Last night, 3 a.m. car is gone. 3 messages, no reply. What has been going on? Why don't you tell me, baby, what you've been doing lately? I used to turn you on. What has been going on? You say that you don't want to, but you're a man, you've got to. And I'm a sexy lady, I'll get somebody else. Why don't you tell me, baby, what you've been doing lately? I used to turn you on. What has been going on? Everything, what I was wishing for, breaking up now, I ain't
So you walk through the door, don't kiss me anymore. What's that stain on your shirt? I'll get you where it hurts. Why don't you tell me, baby, who you've been doing lately? I used to turn you on, what has been going on? Now someone broke your car, and all your suits are gone. Oh, with the fish tank's empty, oh boy, this thing is done. Why don't you tell me, baby, who you've been doing lately? I used to turn you on, what has been going on?
Version of Tainted Love.
Yeah, I thought it was good. That's the first time they've ever done a cover song, and I thought, okay, they actually did a damn good job with that. And considering a queen, Mark Allman, well, okay, she's a knight. Mark Allman wrote it, so that was Mark Allman's soft sell. They did Tainted Love originally. It's been redone a lot of times, but I thought that was a cool version. They've never done a cover before, and I thought that was a really good cover.
It's an interesting thing with covers, you know, they're either really good or really
bad. Or they
bad.
Suck really bad. That one's pretty good.
For more information on the group you just listened to, it's milkinc.be.
They're from Belgium. B-E is Belgium.
Which explains the vacant look and blonde hair, blue eyes.
Well, no, she's got black hair.
No, him.
Oh, him, yeah. Actually, he's from Germany. She's from Belgium.
Ah.
So.
Well, he can invade me anytime he wants to.
I'll bet you'd like that, too.
I'm Polish, you know, just coming from the rear, we don't mind.
Not saying a word, kielbasa.
I scared Jimmy. I showed him a little preview of the song I was talking about.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's Okay to Be Gay?
Yeah, the one by Horatio Lee Jenkins.
Yeah. If you get the chance, look up the music video. It's hysterical. It's Okay to Be Gay.
No, this is a different version.
Oh, the other version?
This is the one of... Yeah, we already played the other one. The other one was by Tomboy.
Yeah, that one.
And somebody had a version where they've intermixed Harry Potter scenes.
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
Into it.
That's just wicked.
Which is, yeah, and later on it gets really good in there. But that's the Tomboy version song. The song that we're playing later on tonight, it's from Horatio Lee Jenkins.
Okay.
From his website, Drunker Than Satan.
Okay. Well, welcome to Leather Ties. I'm Daddy Bear Robert T. You're listening to us on KPFT Free Radio 90.1. One thing I do want to say, Fire Dancers are having their 22nd Fire Dance. That's
wow.
Coming up in November, November 7th, 8th, and 9th.
And speaking of Fire Dancers,
mm-hmm.
I was over at the GLBT Cultural Center this
uh-huh.
afternoon because GCAM is moving in. And we're installing,
congrats to GCAM.
We're installing some artwork, and one of the permanent artworks that's going to be
just
on the first floor of the center is a large, very large, I'd say 3 by 4 foot glass case of the Fire Dancers logo, done with fur and feathers.
Oh, Peter would.
It's just
defecate
gorgeous.
If they knew that.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll be installing that in the next couple of days.
But again, Fire Dance 22. The Houston Fire Dancers have been around for quite a long time. They disbanded, they got back together, mm-hmm. they reformed 5 years. So,
sorry, I hit the wrong one.
Yeah.
That one.
Thank you. Technically, the Houston Fire Dancers, it's their fifth anniversary since they reformed, but again, they did exist before, but now mm-hmm. that they've reformed, it'll be their fifth anniversary. But the Fire Dancers have tribes in Houston, San Antonio, I believe Dallas also.
Dallas, yes.
And they've been around for 22 years. So yeah. This is going to be Fire Dance 22. It's going to be held here in Houston this year, November 7th, 8th, and 9th. Registration fee, $35. It's the entire weekend. It includes buffet, meals, receptions, games, rum pin. They're doing a show this year.
Hey.
Which is going to be really interesting. I want to see the show.
I got to get them on here to talk
yeah.
about that.
Yeah. I was with Ike. Everybody's using Ike as an excuse. So, mm-hmm. yeah. The guest list is really low this month.
Well, not only that, but so many organizations and clubs postponed things.
Right. And well, the Fire Dancers didn't. Theirs is always in November.
We've got such a large community now that you can't schedule an event without stepping on somebody else's.
Right.
And now that we've had like almost a month of things postponed, it's just going to be really, really tough.
Yeah, playing catch up for
yeah.
everybody.
Yeah.
But then again, you've got something for everybody. You got leather events, you got drag events, mm-hmm. you got the court events, mm-hmm. you got the bear events. You know,
you do.
Pick and choose. There's always something for somebody out there. Me, we're going to be talking leather because this is leather ties. I've had a lot of people email and talk to me about redoing. Do you remember a few? Gosh, almost a year ago now, I did the 3-month series on different fetish plays. So
I do.
A lot of people have asked me to run that and condense it down into one show, so that's what we're going to do tonight.
Terrific.
So we're going to be talking about safely and as sanely as possible, playing different scenes. We're going to cover wax, electricity, blood sports, handballing, water sports, and then we'll go from there if we have any time. I think after that it's round table because by then everybody will be going, what?
I got to step in real quick and let everyone know you're listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. Now broadcasting in high-definition radio. You can find out more about what broadcasts are on HD channel number 2 if you go to kpft.org.
I know it's a good leather tie show when somebody comes to me the next week and says, I was listening to your show, and do people really do that?
Yes, we do, and we enjoy it. So let's start with some easy, well, I say easy, but let's start with some of the tamer things like wax and fire play. Wax, everybody, there's a lot of misconceptions about wax, so let's clear this. There's a lot of different types of wax. You have beeswax, you have paraffin wax, you've got what we call the Catholic candles, mm-hmm. I guess it would be the easiest way to call them.
No, the ones in the big tall glass thing,
yeah, you know?
Yeah.
I'm chuckling at that one because...
You're a nun.
No. After you talked about this the last time,
uh-huh.
a friend of mine was curious about that. And so I had went to Fiesta and...
Bought some Catholic candles for him?
Purchased the Sacred Heart of Jesus.
Should have gotten St. Jude.
I know, you should have gotten St. Peter. Did they have a St. Dick? I'm not Catholic, I don't know.
Unfortunately, I kind of... lost contact with that friend, so I didn't get to use that candle until Ike. When I used it as a hurricane candle, but
well, I guess that's the best time to light it
yeah,
in the middle of a hurricane,
right?
Okay, so with the different types of wax, I'm gonna you have scented candles, unscented. Big thing people say is don't use scented candles because scented candles have that oil in them that gives them the scent.
Really?
Yeah. And, I mean, you know, just like the Glade candles and all that stuff, they're basically, they have a lot of oil in them because the oil is the scent. You've got wax and oil.
What about that leather-scented candle I just bought?
We can't hear you, but the leather-scented candle, yes, they are fine.
What about that leather-scented candle I just bought?
The leather-scented candle, yes, you can use any candle.
Oh.
You can use any, really, it's just how you play with it.
Okay.
What you need to know, people say scented candles bad because they have oil in them and it burns too hot and you can burn the skin. The same thing with beeswax. They say beeswax burns too hot.
I've heard that.
And so here's the truth of it. You sit in a hot tub that's 104 degrees,
mm-hmm.
that's about how hot the wax is going to be. Melting temperature of a standard paraffin wax is about 102 to 104 degrees.
Uh-huh.
Beeswax is about 104 to 106 degrees. Scented mm-hmm. candles, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to be playing, you can play with any candle. If you're going to play, you need to learn how to play. Play on yourself first before you ever play on anybody else.
Oh, yeah.
When you light a candle, the candle's going to start melting. You get the drips. You need, and the whole thing, the higher the temperature of the candle, the farther away from the body you need to hold it, the candle,
gotcha.
So you don't cause permanent damage.
Okay.
Yes, you want the heat. You want the sensation. You don't want blistering. You don't want third-degree burns.
Right.
Or forbid, you know, first-degree burns. But
really? You can get that with candle?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you drip candle
because
wax...
Because it holds the heat so long?
Yeah. If you... Especially that comes into beeswax and scented candles. It takes longer for these types of wax to cool off.
Oh.
Because they're at a much... much higher, you know, 3 or 4 degrees hotter
mm-hmm.
is their melting point. So, yes, you can use them. You just need to use them properly. And again, it's like sitting in a hot tub. Some people like a hot tub that's cooler. Some people like a hot tub that's hotter. Beeswax burn... Scented candles burn about 104 to 106. Beeswax actually burns at about 108 to 112 degrees. That's the melting point.
Okay. And so what are the most popular places to drip these on?
Pick a place. It really depends. Most people, when they get into candle wax, there are different types of wax play.
Mm-hmm.
You have candle wax where you're dripping candle.
Yeah.
You also have poured wax.
Oh.
Where you're actually basically encasing somebody in wax.
Mm-hmm.
With candle dripping, a lot of people, the very sensitive areas of the body, obviously, you're going to want to go into the nipple area, the chest area,
yes.
genitals,
yes.
the underarms,
oh.
the back of your knees.
Really?
Yeah. The back of your knees is a very... It's like the armpit of your leg.
Oh.
It's the back of your knee. It's a very sensitive area.
Mm-hmm.
Most people concentrate on the genitals because, you know, let's face it, that's where
that's
the orgasm
yeah.
comes from. But this type of play is not specifically designed for orgasm. It's designed for sensation.
Okay.
Most of the fetish play that leather people, BDSMers, fetishists do is not necessarily for orgasm. It is for the endorphin rush.
Right.
When you're playing with dripping candles, is how high up do you hold that candle? How far away from the body do you hold that candle that's mm-hmm. dripping onto that person?
And it's so good.
Obviously, the closer you have the candle, the more sensation they're going to have. But
sure.
if you're too close, you're going to cause blistering or burning. And that's what you don't want to do. You don't want to cause blistering.
And you don't want to use black candles because it stains everything.
Yeah. Not because of the heat, just because it stains. A fun way of playing, that's why I always say test it on yourself first. See how high up you need to be with the candle. The most popular, of course, are going to be unscented paraffin candles because they burn at a lower temperature. They cool off quicker, and unscented, most people, that's just the myth. I mean, you can use scented candles. You just need to hold them up a little higher.
I thought beeswax would be better.
Beeswax, everybody always says don't ever use beeswax because it melts at too high of a temperature. The melting point on beeswax is much higher than paraffin. That's why beeswax candles last so much longer, because
oh, okay.
it takes longer for them to heat up and melt.
So just a good, cheap candle.
Yeah. Go down to Walgreens, whatever, and get those plain old white candlesticks. You know, those little candelabras candlesticks or whatever.
Get the ones at the dollar store that, you know, have got Jesus on
them.
That or Fiesta.
But
I bought the little Sacred Heart of Jesus candle.
Yeah, those candles, they burn at a very low temperature. So, I mean, you can get a lot, and they've got a lot of wax. You can get a lot more fun out of it, you know? But
Jesus, he kept my room glowing for 24 hours, and he's still only halfway done.
Yeah, yeah.
Jesus.
Votive candles. People say don't use votive candles or tea light candles. Okay, here's the thing with that. Yes, candle wax is candle wax. What you need to keep in mind with votive candles, tea light candles, they've got metal on the bottom of them. They've got that little metal tip holding the wick in place. Obviously, you don't want to set that on somebody's body. That metal will heat up. So, yeah, if you're going to use a tea light candle, take the tea light candle out of the little metal tin, snip off the metal on the bottom. If you're going to use a votive, snip off the metal on the bottom. You can just take a lighter and melt the wax together to hold the wick in place while you're playing.
Aren't you going to burn yourself?
No. You're doing
on a tea light?
Well, the way people play with votive candles and tea light candles is placing them on the body.
Ooh.
You have somebody, you lay out your partner, the bottom in the scene, and you place the tea lights or the votives on the body and let the tea lights or the votive candles
turn
melt.
Turn them into an altar, basically.
Basically, wow. That's what you're doing. And with every breath and every movement they make, they're going to shake those candles a little bit, and it's going to drip wax in those spots.
Ooh, that sounds kind of fun. So you try that?
Yeah, it is very fun.
See, that was a helpful hint that we should have had before Ike.
Yeah.
You know, how long did that
Okay. So, you can use them if you use them correctly. Never use a candle with metal on it or metal shavings in it. Don't use the decorative candles with all the little chunks of crap in it, you know, where you buy those fabulous little candles at Yankee Candle or at, like, Bath & Body that have, like, little cinnamon sticks and stuff like that. And because that crap, when it melts down, it can heat up and hurt and burn the body when it melts out of the candle and it hits the body. So you don't want to use anything that's got little trinket crap in it.
If
like
Martha
that.
Stewart says it's approved for use, you don't use it for this kind of play.
No. No.
What about the ones with the little chunks of other wax in them?
Chunks of other wax? Well, yeah, because the wax is going to melt before it hits the body. But those you need to be careful with playing because those chunks of wax weaken the actual strength of the candle. So if you're holding it, it could crumble in your hand.
Oh, okay.
So you do need to be careful with something like that. The best things to use are tapers. If you're going to play with dripping candle wax. The funnest thing, I think, and it's a scene that I have seen that is just phenomenally beautiful to look at, and I'm sure for the bottom, they're just in pure heaven. Go down to a beauty supply store and get bikini wax.
Ooh.
You can buy this stuff in cake, in just cubes.
We have that at home.
Put it in a crock pot, melt it down.
Yeah.
Use a ladle to pour it on the body. You can pour all kinds of beautiful designs. This stuff comes in 6 or 7 different colors. So you can create all different kinds of...
Clayton.
Yeah.
Apparently we got a bobblehead in here.
Yeah. We got a bobblehead in here, yeah.
We've got one of those things. Did you
Well, I know what we're going to be doing when we go home tonight.
It's an arts and crafts project. We're going to make doodads. He's going to Jackson Pollock your ass tonight.
Ooh, yeah.
But, I'll be there.
But that's a really fun thing, and a lot of people, I mean, pouring the wax on the body, creating beautiful designs out of it, or just completely coating the body with this warm wax, and then placing votives or tea lights on that wax. It's a good base to hold the wax in place. You can also take, a lot of people will use a taper, drip a lot of wax in one spot, while that wax is still warm, stick a tea light in it.
But
so that it stays on the body and doesn't fall over. The worst thing you want to do is if you have a tea light or a votive sitting on somebody's body, it's for that thing to fall over because that flame will burn your skin. It will cause a blister. It can cause a very bad burn. So it's just play sanely. Lay down some wax first. Then put the candle in that wax so it does not tip over.
The wax, though, that you were talking about in the chunk, you have to be careful if there's somebody that's really hairy.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll get to body hair in a minute. Because it's a real...
Not a good idea.
Yeah, it can be a real bitch to get out if you don't know what you're doing. But...
Gorillas don't have a fun time with that.
No. Yeah, I know a couple of gorillas that it'd be fun to just coat them and then watch them try to get the stuff out. Yeah. I'd love to coat him in wax and see him try to get it out. They say another myth, you can't reuse wax. BS. Most wax, if you want to flake it off or scrape it off your body, flake it off and scrape it off into a bowl or something. That's what a double boiler is. Melt it down again. Put it in a crock pot. Make sure that the crock pot is clean when you start using it and keep it only for wax. Keep it covered when it's not in use. Because you can always heat up that wax, melt it again, and reuse it. But, again, if you have body hair or anything like that, when you heat up that wax and it melts, any debris is going to float up to the surface. Skim it off, just like you'd skim fat off of gravy.
Yeah, body hair would be a hard time getting it out of there.
And then you can reuse wax. It's, you know, after, especially if you start using colors, it's all going to end up looking black when you when you melt it down again, because all those colors are going to mix. But it is reusable if you make sure that the wax is clean.
If you're that cheap and you can't, you don't want, I mean.
Well, again, if you're using, I've seen where they've done a scene where they have covered somebody head to toe in bikini wax. With a ladle, covered them, and then literally peeled the whole thing off in one entire sheet so they have an impression of the body.
Cool.
That's a lot of wax to just throw away.
Yeah.
You can put that, only use the same wax with the same person, okay? You know, if you're going to play this game, don't take wax, use it on one person and use it on another person, obviously. That's just
you better not be putting it on somebody
like,
else.
You know, that's like putting on a condom and doing him, and then you're wearing the same condom and doing him. You know, that's not going to work. You need fresh toys for each person, okay? So,
but I can put it on you, though.
When I say reuse wax, I mean, when I say reuse wax, I mean, don't, you can reuse it on the same person. There are, you can do that. Tips, here we go. Hairy people. For those of us who have body hair, and those of us who are walking shag carpets, you get wax all stuck in your hair. I mean, your head hair, body hair, crotch, wherever you got hair. Okay, great. So how the hell do you get it out off your body without ripping all the hair out of your body and ending up looking like a bloody porcupine?
Olive oil.
Oil works good. It works well. It doesn't have to be olive oil. Because, you know, Popeye would throw a fit. But
olive oil is, especially if it's virgin olive oil or extra virgin olive oil.
Virgin, do you have any olive oil?
I'm not squeezing his olives.
I ain't squeezing his olives either, not to get any oil out of those. And that wouldn't be oil. That'd be thick and creamy if you squeezed his olives.
Well, I can get some olive oil.
No. Okay, keep in mind, what is wax? How does wax react? It reacts to heat. It melts down again. Soak in a hot tub. It loosens up the wax, and you can literally just with your hands or like with a scrubby, just wipe it right out of your fur.
Then you wouldn't be reusing that wax, though.
Right.
A hair dryer and a comb.
Okay, that would, that'd take a long time, and the drag queen would need her hair dryer back real quick. The best way to get it off, if you actually, even if you're furry, if you put on body lotion before you start this game, it'll be a lot easier to get the wax back off. You'll still get the sensation. You need to use an unscented body lotion, though, because you don't want to mix the body, the oils and the perfumes and the scent. It could react with the heat of the wax.
Yeah. Well, could you do the olive oil ahead of time, too?
Yeah, you can do that. You'd stink, but yeah, go ahead.
Olive oil is actually good for the skin.
Yeah.
Use a good rosemary candle so you have that good focaccia feel.
Yeah, and when we say coat your body, we don't mean do not use lube. Do not use wet or ID lube or something like that. Don't use silicone lube. Don't use silicone-based lubes for this. I mean, if you use a good body lotion or something, or just don't do it. But again, the easiest way to get it out is going to be if you just soak in a hot tub. Number one, after a scene like that, you're going to want to relax and enjoy it. So you're on the endorphins. Take a nice bubble bath. It will come out. Okay, great. So I take a bath. Now how the hell do I get all this wax out of the tub? Well, number one, if you wait for the tub to cool down, the wax is going to harden again. You can just get a ladle or, you know, a skimmer, get a colander and scoop the stuff out. Once you empty the tub, you're going to have a ring of wax, yeah. How do you get that out? A scrubby and some Ajax. What do you clean your tub with, you know? It's pretty common sense. Any kind of cleaning product will get the wax off the tub. Don't use Ajax or cleaning products on your body, okay? That won't work.
It's a whole different fetish.
Yeah. And if you're going to do that, at least if you're going to play that fetish, I mean, get the Ajax or the Comet with the scrubby bleach with the pumice in it, and use steel wool.
Or Chore Boy.
Yeah, chore boy. Yeah, and get some steel wool pads and really scrape all the skin off your body.
Nice exfoliation.
Okay. So, what you need to keep in mind when you do play, while you are playing with fire, is...
Have an extinguisher?
Have a fire extinguisher handy.
I have one.
Now, fire extinguisher, if you want one to buy a real fire extinguisher, fine. Dousing your partner with that is not always a good thing. What puts out fire? Water, okay? Keep a bucket of water.
Have plastic sheets.
Plastic sheets or, you know, something. Lay down a tarp or something because it's going to be a real nightmare to get that out. Don't play in the bed, okay? Try to play in an environment that does not have any flammable material near you.
Aren't tarps flammable, though?
No, if they're plastic.
No. If they're
plastic, they melt.
But all vinyl, plastic, something that burns at a higher temperature, personally, I'd say if you're going to play it, oh, play outside. Let the neighbors watch.
Oh, yeah.
Our neighbors would run screaming, but that's okay. Different story.
Especially since we're right next to a Baptist church.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Do that Sunday morning out at the pool. Now that the fence around the pool, the privacy fence around the pool is actually in the pool, we can play that scene in the when they get out of church. It'll be great.
Reenacting the baptism scene.
Yes.
I'm getting baptized in wax.
But keep a fire extinguisher handy. A bucket of water, something. Also keep in mind if you're going to be laying candles on somebody, you need to be very attentive as the top in this situation. Keep an eye on your bottom. Make sure that they are enjoying it. Make sure they are not...
The way you said it.
Okay, bottom.
Keep your eye on your bottom? That's kind of hard to do.
Look, you take off your glasses and you go like that.
You need a mirror.
Yeah.
That's what mirrors and webcams are for.
Okay, on your sub...
On your sub's bottom.
Well, no, because a sub is a lifestyle word. Bottom, top and bottom are sex play words.
They're well, bottom is also a butt.
Keep an eye on the person who's
who you are pouring wax on. Wax on, wax off. Go there now, please. Okay.
Wax so, on.
No. Okay.
Wax off.
Okay, clap off, okay? So, if you're going to do this, keep an eye on them. Make sure that you all stay in contact. I mean, because the minute they start feeling heat or it's too much for them, they need to, like, make you aware. If they're hitting an endorphin rush or something, they may not be able to verbally communicate this. So, you need to make sure to watch your partner's reactions to what you're doing and adjust your play accordingly. Even the most experienced players, you're going to get some blistering every once in a while. It happens. So... Treat it just like any other burn. How would you treat any other burn?
Better not with my tattoo.
Not with your tattoos, no. I would only drip wax in areas, the one small area that you don't have a tattoo on your body.
On his arms?
Yeah, just on his forearms, yeah. And I think on his pinky toe he doesn't have a tattoo. The rest of his body is, you know, covered in tattoos. Oh, yeah, we'll give you a Hindu spot right there with some red wax.
Ooh, yeah.
That'd be hot, yeah. And then we'll inlay like an amethyst stone right there.
Okay. A black diamond.
So, if blistering does happen, obviously stop the scene immediately. Don't continue the scene. You need to take care of the blister. You need to take care of the burn. If you're laying candles on somebody's body, you need to make sure and keep very close attention those candles don't fall over. Keep in mind that when you put a candle, a votive, especially tea lights, votives are better for doing this than tea lights. Experienced players can use tea lights. If you're new to this scene, use a votive because it's a taller candle. Keep in mind that candle is only an inch to 2.5 inches tall. That does not give the wax time enough to cool off properly before it hits your body. So if you're going to lay them on, like I said, lay down a layer of wax, put the votive in there so it does not move, it does not roll over, it doesn't topple. But be very aware that that wax is going to be a lot hotter than it would be if you were dripping it from a foot above their body or 6 inches above their skin. And if you're new to this scene, that can be very uncomfortable. So if you do that, like I said, you need to make sure that you're reading the bottom correctly. There he goes laughing again. And make sure that you're being as safe as possible. Okay.
I would say beat him, but he'd enjoy it.
Yeah.
No, not really.
Actually, no, I flogged him. He enjoyed it, but he's not really. He's like,
Now use some electricity. Oh yeah.
We'll talk. Oh, should we? Okay, let's skip over. No, we're gonna go blood sports. I'm gonna make you suffer on the electricity. We're gonna wait on that. Blood sports. Let's go into blood sports. Any questions on wax, by the way? None. Good.
I like wax.
Yeah, wax on, wax off.
It can be fun.
Yeah, you can wax on, wax off my truck.
Mm-hmm.
Next scene.
Well, the closest he's ever going to get is to simonize your vehicle, not sodomize.
I don't know. He might get stuck in the tailpipe. That'd be a bitch. Okay. So, blood sports. Blood sports involves anything that releases blood from your body. That can be cutting, biting, scarification,
tattoos,
razor blades, needle play, tattooing.
What
tattooing? Yeah. How many people do you know that do tattoos as a sex fetish?
I do.
Do you actually get off on it while you were in?
Yeah, it's an endorphin rush.
Yeah, but again,
but I don't keep redoing it over and over and over again.
Right.
But yeah, there is an endorphin rush when you get a tattoo.
Okay. Well, that's. Well, that's
$100,000 to $200,000. That's $100,000 to $1,000 times you play, though.
That's true. Well, I can have him just do a small section at a time.
Yeah. Okay. So anything that involves bloodletting, okay, that is considered a blood sport. A lot of people are into this vampirism and biting fetishes. If you break skin, that's bloodletting. Needle play, razor play, knife play. Yeah, fangs, I get it. What you need to know, obviously, when you start playing with somebody with this type of scene is know their status, and that doesn't mean just HIV. Know whether or not they've got Hep C, know whether or not they've got gonorrhea, syphilis. You need to know what diseases are in their blood.
If they know.
If they know. Now, when you do play with blood sports, you obviously need to, it's a very extreme aspect of this fetish lifestyle that we live in, you need to play as sanely and safely as possible. Rubber gloves, vinyl gloves, better.
Latex?
Latex, great. I mean, you need to use thicker gloves. I mean, just a little pair of rubber gloves or those cute little food handler gloves that you get at McDonald's. Don't cut it, okay?
How about...
Those are actually have micro perforations to let your hands breathe while you're handling food, so you don't want to use those for this kind of a scene.
What about Playtex living gloves?
Yes, you can do, after you do the dishes, fine.
Remind me to bring Chinette next time I come to your house.
Yeah.
Okay. No, we'll have a new dishwasher then, and then it'll be time to use the dishwasher.
Yeah, the old dishwasher is starting to go on the fritz. It's time for a new one. When you get into needle play, razors, knife play, especially with needles, you always want to use disposable needles. They sell them medical supply stores. You can probably even get them at Walgreens now because they are also used for different kinds of testing, diabetes, things like that. You can get disposable single, they're called single-use needles. They come individually wrapped and sterilized. You're wearing gloves. Make sure that the area of the body that you are working on is clean, sterilized as much as possible. I mean, this is not a scene to go play in the back of the ripcord or, you know, at a dungeon party unless you have a controlled environment.
Or rolling mud.
Yeah. Things you need to keep on hand, obviously, Band-Aids, antibacterial cleaning supplies, bandages.
Emergency room numbers.
Emergency room numbers. Yeah, there you go.
Well, because you never know if you nick the wrong area.
Right.
You need to know where you're playing at, too. That's very important.
Yes. If you're going to get into things like needle play, knife cutting, blades, things like that, you need to be very aware of the human anatomy, where you can and cannot puncture, where you can and cannot cut.
You don't want to cut an artery.
Yeah. And you also don't want to puncture, if you're into needle play, you don't want to puncture and permanently damage nerves. The whole point is not permanent damage.
So can you do needle point and cross stitch while you're doing this?
You can get out now. You're walking home, you know this, don't you?
I can take him home.
No, I'm gonna
strap. Yeah, you'll need someone to push.
Yeah. No, we're gonna strap him in a little red wagon. I'll pull him behind the vehicle. So things you want to.
I'll come back when it comes to electroplate.
Okay. So temporary piercing. Again, use single-use sterile needles. You can get them at pretty much any medical supply store. They come in packs of 25, 100, 500, you know. If you're going to use knives, razor blades, straight razors, sterilize before, right before, and sterilize after you play with these tools. Razor blades, if you can use them, you can go down to Home Depot, get a pack of 50, pack of 100 razor blades. They're individually wrapped. They are not sterile. So you need to make sure to sterilize them, boil them, something.
Alcohol's cheap and infection isn't.
Right. So sterilize them before you use them. Throw them away in an approved container. It doesn't mean throw them in the trash can and then take the hefty bag out and cut yourself up later. Whenever you dispose of single-use needles, razor blades, whatever, throw them away properly. Put them in a plastic tub or a plastic bottle like is recommended. They sell those too. Or you can use a milk jug. I don't care.
Or if you've got a friend who's in the medical profession,
right.
Package it, give it to them, as they can put it in their Sharps container.
Right. You can actually get Sharps containers like at most pharmacies now. Because diabetes and things like that, they use so many needles for testing and things like that. You can get these Sharps containers. They're a thicker plastic where the needles can't puncture through.
Because you have to consider anything that comes in contact with blood nowadays is considered a biohazard.
It is considered a contaminant, a biohazard. So dispose of these properly. Make sure that they are not where people can accidentally get pricked, stabbed, step on, whatever. Again, with knives, straight razors, those are things that you're not going to throw away. You want to keep, reuse. I mean, I have a few straight razors that I use for body shaving, which I don't do anymore because, well, I like fur. But you need to make sure that your toys are sterilized before and after. Whoever the sub is, the bottom is in the situation, make sure that they understand what they're getting into, that they have played this before. You need to talk, find out what their limits are, what your limits are. Again, the big thing, especially with needle play and knife play, is knowing the human body. If you don't know, don't play. And that goes whether you're the top or the bottom. Because as a top, you need to know where you can cut. You need to know where you can pierce with a temporary needle that's not going to permanently damage this person. As the bottom in the situation, you need to know that if they start going somewhere, you say, no, that's not where you can go safely. If you do that, I may lose the feeling in my arm. I may use the use of my leg. You know, don't go there. You need to know the human body to play this kind of game. It is a game for very experienced players. A good way to learn this, if this is something that interests you and you want to learn, there are people in Houston that are very adept and very good at this. One person that always comes to my mind when it comes to needle play is Mistress Elizabeth. She's with the WIP Society. She's the founder of the WIP Society. That's the Women in Power Society. And she's incredible with needle play and knife play and things like that. And she also does scarification. She can literally carve designs in your body that will be permanent, like a tattoo. Okay. So, and she does incredible work. But if they're not experienced, this is not a game that you can just read a book and pick up and go. You need to learn. You need to be taught how to play this game properly. So
you might not get a chance to get a safe word out before something permanent happens to you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, again, for those of you who are novices, or whenever I'm talking about this, I am saying you always negotiate a scene. You say, this is how far I'm willing to go. These are my limits. This is my safe word. When a scene gets to this point, here's my caution word, which means slow down, wait a second, let me catch up, catch my breath, whatever. Or you need to have a word. It's called a safe word, but it can be a word or a gesture that instantly stops the scene. Then when you say that word, that basically means I've had enough, stop. And that is part of the negotiation process. You don't go out, have a few cocktails, get drunk, go home, decide to play this game. And that goes with any game. You always negotiate the scene, you negotiate your limits, and know what you're doing. Make sure that you use rubber gloves, vinyl gloves, latex gloves. The rubber and vinyl gloves are obviously thicker, a little more resilient. You need sterile bandages. Antibiotic ointments should always be readily available. And let's hope you don't need it. A tourniquet. Always keep something, a piece of rope or something nearby in case you actually do cause some serious damage. And keep a phone nearby, cell phone, whatever. So if there's an emergency, if something happens, don't be stupid and pretend like this isn't happening and leave these people, leave this person to bleed to death. Call the 911. Tell them what's happened. We live in the fourth largest city in this country. Believe me, they've seen it all in the emergency room. Be honest about it. I would rather be honest about it and say it was an accident than be charged with murder.
And, you know, on a basic thing there is, if you're going to play at someone's house, make sure you know what the address is. Because if you're calling a cell phone...
Well, number one, if you're going to play at somebody's house, and this is not a game that you meet somebody online and negotiate and then go over to the house and play. Sorry, no. If you do that, you get what you ask for, and that's just damn stupid. You play this game with somebody you know. You play in a place that you are familiar with, that you are comfortable in. If you're going to play this thing with somebody who is not your partner, you're single, you make sure that one of your trusted friends knows where you're at, knows how to get a hold of you. The person that you are playing with, who is going to be topping you, or if you are bottoming, if you're the top or the bottom, whoever you're playing with, one of your friends that you trust needs to know, and needs to know how to get a hold of this person in case something happens. So if, say, I'm the bottom in this situation, and I get cut and I end up in the hospital, and obviously I can't talk, here's your time limit on this scene. If my friend doesn't hear from me within 3 hours of me getting there, they're going to start calling this person and say, hey, what's going on?
Yeah.
I mean, you need to protect yourself. Yeah, we live in the fourth largest city. Yeah, they've seen and heard everything, but the fourth largest city in this country also can have a lot of wackos that don't respect limits. So you need to know who you're playing with and play safely and negotiate the scene in advance.
Well, one thing you haven't said, I don't know if you mentioned it or not, that people who may be hearing about this kind of scenes, lifestyle, play and all
fetish
that.
Fetish play.
Is that... Just because you are the top, you're really not the one who's in charge of this. Because if the bottom says stop, it has to stop. Because it crosses that...
The top can also call stop at any time. If the top is not comfortable, I've known tops that they get bottoms who are paying the pigs. Mm-hmm. Or I have no limit. If a top is uncomfortable in a situation, the top can also call a safe word. The top should have a safe word, the bottom should have a safe word. And... Again, in any kind of extreme fetish scenes like this, they need to be negotiated. Whether it's flogging, bull whipping, needle play, knife play, handballing, water sports, whatever fetish turns you on. You need to know your partner's limits. You both need to have safe words that when you call that word, that means the scene stops. But, yes, the bottom, when it comes to a scene like that, the bottom does have the most control. Because the bottom is the one that's having this done to them. And when they've had enough, they've had enough. At the same time, the top, the amount of work that goes into this, the top, everybody always asks, what does the top get out of it? The top gets the satisfaction of doing this, of making you feel this way, of getting you to that high. That is their high. Their high is getting you there. The bottom's high is allowing somebody and trusting somebody to get them there. If the top gets to a point where he says, I'm not comfortable to... Oh, add 40 more needles. Or cut me some more here. Or cut me here, and you know it's a dangerous spot to cut. No. If the top is uncomfortable with the scene and where it's going, the top can call his safe word and stop the scene just as easily as the bottom can.
I was trying to get the emphasis on the consensual part is what's the important part.
And nine times out of ten... It will be the bottom who calls their safe word. Because the top's responsibility and what the top gets off on is getting the bottom to that place. Getting those endorphins going and giving, we call it the high. It is a mental, sensual, physical, sexual high that you get from this type of play. The top gets off on getting you there. When you call your safe word, you're there. You have reached that pinnacle as far as you can go, as far as you can take it. You're just flying on endorphins and you're having a good time. You calling your safe word at that point is telling the top, basically, you did a fantastic job. You got me there. That gets the top off.
Yeah.
So the bottom is the one who's normally going to call a safe word. A lot of times, if you're reading your partner correctly, there's no need for a safe word unless it gets out of hand or you misread where your partner is at. But the top will know when the bottom has had enough, or should know. A good top will always try to know.
Yeah.
You do, like I said, you don't always read the part, especially if it's somebody you haven't played with or it's before, or somebody you haven't played with often. It's learning to read the body language.
And a different scene could cause a person to react in a different way
than
you may not.
I mean, I could be doing, let's say, I could be doing a bondage scene with somebody that they don't tell me in advance that they have had issues from their childhood.
Yeah.
Where they had been, you know, their father's beaten them up and thrown them in the shed and locked them in the shed, and they could trip out. Or the top, in the same situation, the top could have issues with what the bottom is asking them to do, and it dredges up something. So, yeah, you need to know who you're playing with and need to know that you're being as sanely and safely as you can play. But you both have top words. The scene is negotiated. If you never renegotiate a scene in the middle of a scene. If we say, okay, what I'm going to do now is, if we're going to, let's say, needle play, that's the best example for this. Okay, we're going to do 20 needles here, 20 needles here, going down each side of the chest. And then we're going to negotiate some needles going in the back. And so you get to that point, and all of a sudden, the bottom says, oh, I want to do more. Or the top says, no, let's do some more. You just broke the contract you made for that scene. You negotiated this. You can't say, oh, that feels good. Give me more. Give me more. That's a red flag for me.
Mm-hmm.
That's saying, okay, and I will say, no, this is what we negotiated. And trust me, if I put 3 needles in you and I play with those needles the right way in your body, that's all you need. But number one, that's all we negotiated. And I don't renegotiate in the middle of a scene.
You can stop,
it's not
restart.
Gets, you know. It is not safe. We can try that again the next time we play. We can go a little farther each time we play, and we'll negotiate that before we start playing. But it's a very, very bad thing, in my mind, to you're in the middle of a scene, and all of a sudden they want to negotiate more, or they want to negotiate less. Negotiating less, fine. You say, that's what your safe word's for. I've had enough. Stop. You know, I got 9 needles in you when we negotiated 20. 9 was what you could handle. Fine. Great. Perfect. We got you there. Enjoy. But if we negotiate 20 needles and you say, nope, do 30 or 40 more, mm-mm.
Yeah, and that's one thing to try and emphasize with people who are hearing this kind of stuff for the first time.
Right.
Is that it's not what you may think it is looking at it from the outside. It's not someone
purposely torturing somebody. It's not torture. It is consensual. It is a scene that both people negotiate and want to get into. They're not doing it for sex gratification. They're not doing it for a genital orgasm. It is for the endorphin rush. It is for the high. It is to test your own body's limit, your own capabilities of your body and your mind and your spirit.
We had to talk about some similar stuff like that, some of the group over at Inversion before mm-hmm. we got here. And hearing people trying to describe the same sort of thing you're talking about, and the only thing I was thinking of is like the difference between a tantric massage and a get-you-off massage.
Mm-hmm.
It's more
a happy ending.
Yeah, yeah. It's more about what goes on in your mind than what happens in your genitals. And that's the sort of play.
Right. And that's what we're talking about here. Most of the sex play you find in the fetish community is not about getting your rocks off. It's not about, you know, a genital orgasm, like I said. So it's more about the endorphin rush, the high from your body.
The mental orgasm.
The mental orgasm as opposed to the physical orgasm, mm-hmm. although the physical is how you get there.
Yeah.
So why don't we do some Rosalind Murphy, and then we'll come back and start talking about the more severe stuff. Rosalind Murphy was the... Moloko is a group. Most people think Moloko was the girl, her name. Moloko is a singer in Europe, in Belgium. And if I remember correctly, that group was from the Netherlands, but they have like 9 albums out. They finally got one of their albums here in America. And it's an album from like 1996, but it's a good one. So if you find it like at Soundwaves or something, get it. Rosanne Murphy was the lead singer. Her name is spelled R-O-I-S-I-N. It's pronounced Rosanne, even though it's Roy Sin, but it's Rosanne. She was lead singer after Moloko broke up. She's put out, this is her second album, and I just think she's cool as hell. So let's play a couple of her songs, and we'll be right back with some more Leather Ties on KPFT 90.1.
When I think that I'm over you, I'm all the power. Your data, my data. The chromosomes match. Exact as in matter. A matter of fact. These
we're back. That was Rahsaan Murphy. That was the first two cuts off of her album Overpowered. And again, she was the lead singer for Moloko, and now she's gone solo. And you can find Moloko CDs. If you want to find Rahsaan Murphy, you can probably find her online. That's about the only place you're going to be able to find her. So, I'm Daddy Bear Robert T. This is Leather Ties on KPFT 90.1. We're talking about fetish play, safe and sane, consensual fetish plays this evening. We're doing a recap of my series that I did, my four-month series I did a while ago.
Oh, yeah. I remember that one.
And so, Baby Bear wants to talk about electricity. He's not in here right now.
Can we go get him for you?
Yeah, go get him.
I'll go get him.
We're going to cover things real quick. Let's cover, while he's going to get Baby Bear, we're going to talk about handballing, otherwise known as fisting. Fisting, misnomer. Most people can't take a clenched fist. Okay, so mindset, you really want to do it, you're going to be able to do it. If you look at your hand, look at your wrist, I know people who can take dildos bigger than my wrist and my hand. So, and most people I know of can. If you look at the width of your wrist, I mean, you know, if you've ever been constipated, you can turd bigger than that. Okay, so it's all the mindset. The most difficult thing is going to be the thumb knuckle. Most people can't fold their thumbs all the way in, unless, of course, you're double jointed or you're like a piano player or something, or a hand model like Chris is doing right now. Yes, Chris is a hand model. Yes. Beautiful. Ricky Lake would be proud. So.
Well, one guy I play with, I tease with
four fingers.
Fingering, and, you know, he gets scared when he starts to feel a second or a third finger. It's like, you know. So I just kind of have to scare and go, well, here you go.
But again, it is an extreme looking thing, but again, it's no different than putting a large dildo in your butt. Or wherever you're putting it. Things you need to keep in mind when it comes to scenes like this. Safely means using gloves. I prefer using vinyl gloves. Latex gloves, obviously, just like latex condoms, will break down in certain lubes. There are a plethora of lubes. They have Butt Buddy, Butt Boy,
Boy
Butter.
I can't believe it's not boy butter.
Elbow grease. I can't believe it's not boy butter. That's the low sodium version. Yeah. But
I saw Fabio hawking that stuff.
Yeah. I really don't want to know about that. Thanks. With his Lee Press on hair. Okay. But if you're going to play the scene, obviously use gloves that are whatever lube you're using. Make sure that they are compatible, just like you would with a condom. Again, I prefer vinyl. Because vinyl, it's a little bit thicker, so it protects the hand better. And if you're going to use a lube, a lot of people, they'll go buy some $10 bottle of lube when, you know, time tradition, Crisco. Crisco will work. J-Lube is actually really good, too. J-Lube was designed for veterinarians to help assist impregnate animals, etc., or birthing animals.
Between that and ketamine, what doesn't the veterinary sciences do for us?
Oh, I know. I wouldn't even talk about shranks or poppers, but if you're going to use J-Lube, what you need to know, J-Lube normally comes in a powdered form. You have to mix it with water. The ratio is on the bottle. And the only way to cut this stuff, and it is a lube that is, like, everlasting, like a gobstopper. Salt water is the only way to get rid of J-Lube, basically, is the best way to get it off of you. It's the salt is what cuts it. You obviously don't want to use a shower shot or douche with salt water, so this would be for cleaning up externally. Again, they've got all different kinds of products.
I'm here.
Crisco, J-Lube are probably the best. Again, if you're going to play, use vinyl gloves. Well, you weren't here yet, so we were covering this real quick. So, yes.
What's handballing?
Fisting.
Oh!
That's not a scene he's into.
No, when I went up past my elbow one time, that was enough.
He was referring as topping somebody, and the person took him almost all the way up to the armpit.
I thought I was going to lose my arm.
Yeah.
But then again, I love that song, Fist Me for Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't wait for December to play that one again.
I like the video. Yeah. It was too cute.
My parents thought it was cute, too.
Yeah. I love it. It's too cute.
But I like that we played that for Christmas in July. That was fun. So,
no, it was too cute because they're just so happy. Don't say, oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Here are the misnomers and the myths about this. Permanent stretching, not. We see all kinds of fabulous little... what do they call them? Rose beds, onions, whatever you want to call them, online.
Yeah, I've seen those.
That is actually a fetish unto itself. When it comes to permanently stretching, it's really hard to do if you're doing this properly. You obviously don't want to force anything more than what you can take. You don't want to force anything larger than it or faster. The big problem is people get in a rush to do this, and this is not like a porn movie. There's no editing. There's no... This is a scene that takes a good 30 minutes, 45 minutes to work up to relaxing your bottoms whole enough. For somebody who's, I'm just saying, new to this scene.
Like me.
You're going to have to learn, the bottom has to learn how to control and relax the sphincters.
And I can't control that much.
And, no, you cut.
Oh!
Never mind, he's so tight he could cut it off. That's what I'm saying.
Ooh.
And at 45 years old.
And I ain't complaining. But
And I actually broke a blood vessel.
Yeah, he did. He broke my wiener.
Yeah. Oh my god.
So yeah,
is it still okay though?
Yeah, he rendered it useless for about 2 weeks because of that. He broke a blood vessel.
I thought it was bad enough removing a condom after they're done. There's nothing like that cold rubber snap in your
hand. Try it with vinyl. With five little condoms. Yeah. It's, again, and when I did, you heard me correctly, when I said sphincters, I mean sphincters, plural. You have more than one. The outer sphincter, which is your a-hole. Then about 2-3 inches in, you have another sphincter.
And then I believe... Which is the pop sound.
You just have the two. Huh?
Which is that pop sound you hear.
Yeah, we call it the gay hymen.
And you also have to be careful if they have polyps.
Yeah.
And what is that?
Polyps, little nodes,
growths,
okay. And they can be cancerous or precancerous. So you've got to be very, very careful.
Or it could just be a zit because they used the wrong lube.
Oh.
No, it's not.
So now, so you have two sphincters. The outer sphincter, which is the a-hole that you see, that's the easiest to control. There's about 2-3 inches inside. There's another sphincter, and that's the one you've got to learn how to control and relax. That takes practice. That take Kegel exercises is the best way I can describe it. You need to gradually work up from smaller toys to larger toys into taking a fist. Don't try to just right off the bat. Excuse the term bad. I didn't mean bad. If you can take a Louisville Slugger, that you need to work up to also. Okay. So
I've seen a video.
Slam it in.
Yeah. Of a guy.
It wasn't me, I swear. So now.
You've just given your secrets away.
Oh, they've already seen,
I've seen
my
pictures.
Video clips and my pictures.
I've please. Seen those pictures.
We know why he's no longer allowed at pool tournaments.
Yeah. Well, I play strip pool, by the way.
Ooh, I want to play.
I've been kicked out of a couple of bars here 2-3 times for playing strip pool. Like, lovely. Now get out. You know?
It is pretty lovely.
Wow, you really do have a big one. Now get out. You can't do that in the bar.
Put your clothes back on.
Yeah, put your clothes back on.
And it is a pretty one, too.
Yeah, I actually had a bartender buy me a shot when I purposefully lost, so I didn't end up making it. He bought me a shot and then kicked me out. I think he was a bitch. So, anyway, back to what we're talking about. To learn how to go in tearing, yes, you can tear if you're going too fast. And tearing can be very severe. If you're going to play this game, the top, you need to make sure the top has their fingernails trimmed, filed down. If you file across the top of the nail going in a downward motion, that smooths out the nail and rounds off the nail so you don't get any little hangnails or sharp edges on your fingernails. If you're going to play this, the best way to insert, and everybody complains the thumb knuckle, if you're not double jointed like I am.
Well, honestly, do it again.
Well, that, but I mean, I can take my thumb and put it behind my hand. Okay.
Now that would hurt.
Oh.
So
that way would hurt.
Yeah, that would definitely hurt. That would hurt my hand going in.
Yeah, but see, your thumbnails, there's no way.
Oh, no, but I mean, I haven't cut my nails in a week. My nails and my hair grow really fast.
Yeah,
I have to cut them like every 4 days. No, because I need those for work to cut boxes open. Okay, so If you're going to do this and insert, once you get to the point where you can actually insert the hand, when you get to the thumb knuckle, that's the big bitch. The easiest way is to insert is to go in as if shaking hands with somebody. You need to go in vertically. So if you extend your hand to shake hands with somebody, that's the direction your hand needs to go in. Why? Because your sphincter is vertical. Most people don't, you don't have a perfectly round circle and you don't have a horizontal.
Unless you're Asian.
You can send complaints to. Let me get you his email address.
Oh, speaking of that, I have to let you know you're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude. Perfect timing. List response to commercial free Pacific Radio for the Gulf Coast. KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
So go in shaking like you, as if you were shaking hands. That's the easiest way to go in. The sphincter will stretch farther that way initially to get in. As the bottom, you need to understand that it's not like a toy. It's not like a penis or anything else you would insert in there. It's got French ticklers on the end of it. So the fingers can be a lot of fun. Again, using gloves, you're using the proper lube. Once the hand is inside, you're going to feel full, and I do mean very full. The easiest way for a bottom to relax and get that thumb joint in, The best way I can say it is push like you haven't taken a crap in a week. Because if you're pushing, you're forcing your sphincters, both of them, open.
And use a salad shooter before you do
this. Yeah, use the salad shooter. Use the shower shot. Okay, be clean. I mean, I know there are people that are into the dirt fetish, but we're not playing dirty here. We're going to talk about the safe way to do this. Because fecal matter is not going to be clean for this type of play. Mm-hmm. So push like you haven't taken a crap in a week. That's going to force both of your sphincters open and make it much easier to get the hand inside. Your initial reaction is to clamp. So the top needs to understand that once the hand is inside, you need to keep it there, especially if you're new, because if they try to go in and out, they're not going to get back in. So once you get the hand inside, expect the bottom's sphincters to clamp down. Keep your hand there until your bottom is ready to continue the scene. The bottom will let you know when they are ready.
I'd hope so.
The easiest way to do it, especially if you're new to this scene, the hand, once you've got the hand inside, twist the wrist back and forth so your hand is going, you know, kind of like in a circle.
Counterclockwise. Turn the knob.
That's a good example. Don't try to actually curl up your hand into a fist. Don't try to curl up your fingers. Keep your fingers as straight as possible. Keep your thumb as folded as possible. And once you actually get into this scene, oh, screwing twice is not gay marriage. I love that shirt. We make that shirt. Actually, I think it's not gay marriage, but it's lesbian marriage.
Yeah. No, that's getting the U-Haul.
Oh, no. Second marriage for a lesbian, the second date is the U-Haul.
Right.
Right? Okay. By the way, Justin is here. Hello, Justin.
Well,
good to see you.
Say hi. Get a chair. Come on.
And so if you're going to do this, the fear of it is because it's such a visual scene when you see it, like, on the internet. And again, like I said earlier, keep in mind, this is not a porno movie. There's no editing. It's like, you see a porno movie, you see some guy, ooh, yeah, fist me. And, like, 2 seconds later, he's got, you know, a guy's hand buried in him. This is something that's
Kermit the Frog doesn't have an arm up that far.
Yeah, but Kermit the Frog's got really thin arms. I mean, Miss Piggy probably couldn't even feel it.
Sure, Miss
right,
Piggy.
Right, Virgin?
Okay.
Is that correct, Virgin? Okay.
I love this one. I'll take care of in the morning, don't you?
Yeah, thank you. Turn his mic off. Okay. Don't give Justin a mic. So if you're going to play
this. I love this one. I'll take care of in the morning, don't you?
Now,
if I got a choice between Virgin or Justin, Justin's getting the mic.
Okay, give Justin. You got a mic right over there. Give Justin a mic.
And you got headphones over there, too.
Yeah, you got to plug them in, though.
Oh, Justin, you're a member of the Fire Dancers, aren't you?
I am.
Okay, Justin is a member of the Fire Dancers as well as NLA Houston. Wait, no, we were just talking about the Fire Dancers Fire Dance 22 coming up.
Yes.
So we plugged that earlier. So we actually have a Fire Dancer here to talk about Fire Dance.
On November 7th.
They're going to have a show. I want to know what the show's about. We'll talk about that in a minute. Because I want to know, is this going to be like leather tutus? What are y'all going to be doing? But back to the topic at hand. So if you're going to do this, now keep in mind, as the bottom, aftercare, once you're done with this kind of scene, don't expect to go to the bathroom for a day or two.
Or because, at least not without yelling.
Yeah. So, I mean, keep in mind your dietary needs. Eat light, easy to pass food.
Okay. Eat some fiber.
Yeah.
Like a salad, maybe?
But also keep in mind that it is the new scene. There's going to be, if you've got burning or any kind of sensation like that when you defecate, that means you have microtearing, so you need to be careful with what you're eating, what you're doing. Do not play afterwards if you feel any kind of burning sensation like that. Because you should not have that kind of burning, raw feeling in a scene like this. If you do, number one, you either went too fast and you tore yourself. And little microabrasions can do that and hurt. And you won't feel it until you actually go to the bathroom. And number two, you didn't use enough lube.
What about fistulas?
Fistulas, yeah, that can happen too. So fistulas, hemorrhoids, things like that, if you're not playing properly and you're not taking the correct time it takes to get there. And again, this is not a scene like you see in a porno movie. It takes time. I know people, you can go for an hour or two and never be able to take it one day. Then the next time you play, it's in, yeah. You know? It's just, and this is a mind game. It is a mental trip that's expressed physically. So
lube is cheap. Getting your rectum sewn back up isn't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It'll be like giving birth to a baby.
Really, tell us all about that.
Well, you know, they have to have it sewn up sometimes after it's done.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's more information I needed to know from the nurse over here.
Well, I can't help it. I'm the nurse.
Okay.
Virginal, is that like?
Well, now, the nurse is really into electroplay, so let's talk about electricity now, because that's one topic he really wants to talk about.
Help straighten out his fur.
About an episiotomy?
Yes.
Yeah. Episiotomy.
They wouldn't have understood the word if I'd have said that.
What's
okay.
Episiotomy?
It's a woman thing.
And so that's where they cut it. That's not where they stitch back up.
Yeah.
Sometimes they will tear.
Mm-hmm.
So
when,
then they
when
stitch
giving
back
birth.
Up.
We're talking about giving birth.
Aren't.
All right, enough coochie now.
I'm not saying comparing notes here, but...
That's okay. You remember, yeah, but you remember when we had Sacred Heart on, the secret word was micturate? Nobody could figure out what the word micturate means, so okay.
Exactly.
Episiotomy. It's another word. Look it up in
Everybody
the dictionary.
Everybody says urinate, and it's micturate.
Yeah. Urinate is actually when the urine is going into your bladder. That is what urinating is. When you actually pass it out of your body, that is called micturate.
Even doctors don't use the term
so
because
say,
nobody understands
well,
it.
So when somebody asks you, where are you going? Don't say, I'm going to go urinate. Say, I'm going to go micturate and make them wonder what the hell you're talking
it's
about.
It's actually micturate.
Micturate.
The more you know. Da, da, da,
da, da, da. Okay,
that goes with water sports.
Okay, no. Okay, that goes with water sports.
Just like you don't want to confuse the word masticate with another word, right?
Masturbate,
yeah.
You can say masturbate, you just don't do it on air.
Yeah.
No, we can't do it on air.
Is that like chewing your cud?
But if you masturbate...
It depends on what you're into.
If you masturbate into a certain orifice, then they can masticate.
Yes.
Is that tossing your salad?
Yeah. No, that's
snowballing.
That's snowballing. That's not even snowballing. Snowballing... Okay. What'd you call it?
All right, we're ready for our next
tossing your salad.
5 week vacation this time.
Yeah. Okay, in Breederville, tossing your salad is what we call rimming. Okay.
Yeah.
What they
hey,
call
if Oprah can talk about this.
Oprah talks about rimming.
She did once.
Now, Chris said snowballing. What snowballing is what we call felching. The gay world calls felching. That means boffing somebody, then. Sucking out all the fun juice you just put in there.
Oh, I think.
And then
a minute.
Kissing the other person and putting your
okay.
juice from their hole back into their mouth.
I thought it didn't matter where it came from.
That is felching.
That's
Let's go to electrical play, please.
I thought you could do snowballing through blowjobs, too.
Well, yeah, you can.
Okay,
but
nice. Okay, that works a little bit better, yeah.
But, I mean, the same thing. That's felching. If you're taking your seed out of somebody...
For more information, go to X-Tube and just take the message.
Exactly. And they'll have pictures and everything for you.
Yeah.
You need a demonstration.
Then
no, we don't, okay? Gigi is not here tonight. Electricity. Let's get to electricity. Electroplay. There are different types of electroplay. You have ultraviolet wands with all their fabulous attachments.
And they are so wonderful.
And you have TENS units.
And I've got one of those, too.
Yeah, we do. And he loves his TENS unit.
You don't.
I don't even need to be in the room for him. He's like, Daddy Bear, please hook these pads up. Put one here and put one here and put one here. And then he just sits back and goes, wee.
And I turn it up as high as it'll go.
Yeah, and I just pop in his DVD and watch movies. So, to explain what a TENS unit is.
Oh, you're wanting me to talk. I'm sorry.
It's your favorite toy.
Well, a TENS unit basically was initially started for relieving pain. It has now become also a fetish game.
A fetish toy?
Toy would be what it is. Basically, what it does is it takes electrical current and it basically runs it in an X pattern. And what it does is it can help relax muscles, and it can also be put on other parts of bodies.
Yes. A lot of people like to use them in the genital area.
And it, depending on how high you turn up the unit, it depends on how much tingling you get.
Mm-hmm. So, basically what it is, it was designed for physical therapy, and of course we took
pain
it
management.
And we kinkified it and turned it into a sex toy.
Oh, it's so much fun.
Keep in mind that this is a very extreme toy. When we say toy, we mean it very respectfully. This is something that if you turn it up all the way, you could seriously damage yourself. I had a problem with my arm. I tore a tendon in my arm. I put this thing on my arm, the way you're supposed to, and being left-handed, I'm holding the thing in my left hand, and I'm turning the knob with my right hand. Well, I've got the pads on my right arm. So it started, and I felt the little tingle, and it just kind of made my fingers twitch. And I still have my fingers on the knob, and that sucker went from 1 to 9, and literally, my arm curled up, my fingers cramped up.
And he was screaming, turn it off, turn it off.
I was yelling, turn it off, because it was very, very painful. I mean, my hands were cramping, all the tendons all the way down to my wrist and my fingers. My ring finger, I mean, it was like this for like 3 hours. Because there was too much electrical current going
through
my
body.
But
there are some people who actually do like the muscle twitching.
Yes, I do. Yeah, and what did I do when I turned it on? When that one little tingle, it was like, ooh, and like an idiot, I still had my fingers on the knob, and when I went, ooh, that felt good, I turned that sucker up, and I ended up looking like Karen Ann Quinlan after 2 years, you know, in a hospital bed, all curled up. I mean, my arm was like, and it was,
it was
just
so funny.
Searing pain.
It was so funny.
Yeah, and I'm yelling, and like an idiot, did I just pull the little jack out? No, I'm yelling, turn the damn thing off! I'm trying to hand it to him.
And I'm laughing.
He's laughing his ass off.
He's laughing, too.
The bastard. But, so it's like, oops. Okay, now I've learned to put the pads on and turn it on with the other hand, you know?
You can hold the unit in the same...
Yeah, you hold the unit in the hand I put the pads on, but he puts the pads in other areas. Anyway, so, like I'm saying, this can be a very dangerous toy. One thing you never want to do with this thing is put it anywhere near your heart.
Mm-hmm. Or by your jugular veins.
Or by your jugular veins.
Because that's your carotid arteries.
You are crisscrossing electrical currents.
And you can cause yourself to have a heart attack.
Yes. Mm. And if you have a pacemaker, do not use this toy. If you have a heart condition, don't use this toy.
No, you can use it.
On your upper body.
Nowhere on your upper... Well, you can use it on your back still.
On your back, yeah, you can.
You can still use it on your back.
Low dose.
It's really not... It's not recommended for the front of your upper body. Because there's too many things you could really mess up.
Too many organs you could really mess up. So, if electrical play intrigues you, please read and learn. And again, this goes back to what we were talking about with blood sports and knife play and needle play. You've got to know the human anatomy to play this kind of a scene.
Well, let's go back to the ultraviolet.
Now, are we done with the TENS unit?
We're done with the TENS unit.
Anything else you want to add to that besides my Karen Ann Quinlan episode?
That was just the most...
Yeah. This is also a man who taught the dog to piss on me on command.
That was funny, too, and I did not get video funny. Of that. It was hilarious.
No, we were sitting there watching TV, and one of the dogs was sitting on his lap. He goes, why don't you go have Daddy Bear and piss on him? And damn dog jumped off of his lap, jumped onto my lap, and pissed on me.
Oh, my God, that's funny.
I was like, you bastard. That dog, as much as I love that dog, he went in the kennel for the rest of the night after that. And I'm laughing so hard, I couldn't really be mad at the dog. But
that's also after the time he sat there and had the dog on the bed and was playing with
him. Well, I was playing with the dog, and I, you know, and roughhousing with the dog on the bed, and the dog got so excited, he was on his back, and he squirted right at me and hit me right in the forehead. And he's laughing, and I'm laughing so hard, it made the dog piss even more. It's like, okay, gotta change the bed now. Dog, you ain't sleeping on the bed tonight.
Okay, let's go back to ultraviolet wands.
Ultraviolet wands. Now, an ultraviolet wand is a type of electrical play that has lots of fun different attachments from orbs, rakes. They even have things that look like, if you know anything about drums or drum kits, it looks like snare drumsticks. I don't know what they're called, but...
They were initially started... for use in cosmetology for, like, facials, stimulating the scalp. That's what their original use was for.
Yeah, they originally... ultraviolet ones were originally developed to open the pores and reduce wrinkles. You can see how well that worked for Joan Rivers, but...
After how many plastic surgeries?
Yeah. That's why it didn't work. That's why she needed all the plastic.
Since she can only smile now.
So ultraviolet wands, again, this is a toy that you need to know how to use.
She just has to squint at the same time, that's all.
She can't even blink anymore. Give me a break.
Eye drops.
Now, you know when she goes to sleep, she has to put on those sun lamp goggles just so her eyes don't dry out because she can't shut them anymore. But this is a toy you need to know how to play with. Ultraviolet wand kits, you can get basic kits, you can get the elaborate. They've got all kinds of incredible attachments. They just came out with a new series of attachments for this thing that's amazing.
If anybody wants to get me a Christmas present...
He wants an ultraviolet wand. Anyway.
Yeah.
They're so much fun.
Again, with this toy, you can regulate the amount of electricity going through the wand. We had a lot of fun at SimFest. They had one of the new ultraviolet wands, and they were playing. They were playing on Baby Bear's body with some ultraviolet wand toys. I think they were with a rake with you at that point. And basically, what he did is he just touched my head, and the electrical current went right through him to me. It's a very fun toy.
Oh,
and me, I love ultraviolet wands. Those are a lot of fun to play with, and
they're a big endorphin rush.
Yeah, they are. But again, it's a toy you need to know how to play with. Mm-hmm. It is a toy you start out with low wattage, work your way up to larger wattage, work your way up to what's comfortable for you. Do not play with any of these toys alone. Do not use a TENS unit by yourself.
Yeah, you can.
If nobody's home and you don't know what you're doing...
They train you how to use a TENS unit. You can use a TENS unit while you're at home by yourself.
Right. Who trained you?
A doctor.
And you go out and you just get a TENS unit because you can buy them on the market.
Well, that's true.
That's what I'm saying.
But if you've been given the unit for medical purposes, you are trained on how to do it. Yes, you can do it by yourself. And once you're experienced,
yes.
You can use
it by
yourself.
I'm talking somebody who's never used this game, never used this toy before.
Like the idiots did on Jackass.
Yes.
Yeah.
You don't use a TENS unit or an ultraviolet wand by yourself if you don't know how to use it and you've never used one before.
No, you're not supposed to use an ultraviolet wand at all on yourself.
Ever.
Ever. By yourself.
So, we're talking about electricity. What is your body? How does your body work and run? It runs on electricity.
And don't get close to water.
Yeah, obviously. Don't play in the bathtub with these toys. So...
Yep.
Yeah, and when he's speaking of water, that means anything wet. That means
water sports.
Water sports and TENS unit don't go together. Okay? Water sports and ultraviolet wand does not go together. You know,
never mind.
Well, what is that old saying? Don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining. You know, that kind of thing. That's one of somebody's favorite sayings.
Judge Judy, actually.
Well, besides Judge Judy, Which you talking about the TV Judge Judy, the Judge Judy that lives here?
The TV one. That's okay. That was the name of one of her books was "Don't Pee in My Leg and Tell Me It's Raining."
Oh, yeah, well, that saying's been around forever.
I know,
but I think W.C. Fields first said that in the movie, or maybe it was Mae West. Mae West,
probably
was
Mae West.
Mae West,
the drag queen.
Mae West was a man anyway. I swear. I keep saying they need to exhume that one. They're going to find a penis, but. Anyway, don't play with electricity unless you know what you're doing. Read up on it. Be trained on how to use an ultraviolet wand. Train on how to use a TENS unit. And if you're new to the scene, don't play by yourself. You don't know what could happen. Anything else with electricity besides the fact that it's a lot of fun once you know how to play with it?
It's a lot of fun.
With ultraviolet wands, you can get electrical burns. So, if you're going to play with an ultraviolet wand, be prepared. Be prepared that you could burn superficial burns on your body to very extreme burns on your body because the electricity can burn your skin. So
you have greater chance of doing that with a TENS unit than you do an ultraviolet wand.
But either way, you need to keep that in mind as far as the voltage and how sensitive your skin is and treat it like any other burned wound you would. So if you're going to play this, make sure that you have stuff available to care for a burn should that happen. And I know somebody who has used an ultraviolet wand on somebody and literally purposefully put burn marks on the person because that was the scene that he had negotiated. Now, unfortunately, that other person heals really fast and the poor boy had no marks to show for it a day later because he healed. So I was like, next time take pictures.
All of the pleasure and pain, but none of the souvenirs.
Yeah. I like the plane better.
Okay, big...
it is lately. I just...
Okay, real quick, I want to cover water sports, and then we can get into roundtable. Okay. Water sports, it's very popular on the internet. You see it all over the place. Here are the do's and don'ts and the real quick things. Jury's still out as far as the medical profession as to whether or not this is a safe scene. Some say that urine is... If you are healthy or whatever, that urine is sterile, well, yeah, it is sterile until it leaves your body. And the minute it goes through your urethra, it can become infected with anything you have. So understand that. While it's in your body and in your bladder, it's pretty clean. It's as clean as your body.
Unless you have a bladder infection.
Yeah.
And actually, once it actually gets into the urethra, there are bacteria that are normal, what are called normal flora.
Healthy flora.
That are actually there. So, yes, it can be, it is not sterile at that point.
Right. So, understand that with water sports, if you plan to ingest it or consume it in any way. A lot of people have different various levels of play. Some people will drink. Some people like
beer,
like it anally, to put it politely. I can't say the word I want to say because it's, you know, the SEC will fine us. But things you need to keep in mind with it are your dietary habits.
Asparagus.
Everybody hears the whole joke about asparagus piss and how bad it smells. What can you imagine playing this thing that, if you're that heavy of a player in the scene and that's what gets you off, sorry. No, I don't do that. What you eat, what and you consume comes out the other end. If you eat crap, you're gonna pee crap. Excuse me.
The other thing is, if somebody has gout, there's some. It has a lot of urea, and it's.
Any medications you are on are going to affect the smell and or flavor. Anything you eat is going to affect the smell and or flavor. So. You need to know the status of your partner. You need to know what meds they are on. If you are playing this scene, you need to know dark vegetables, things like asparagus, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, spinach. They are going to create a strong smell. Foods like fish, collard green, dark sodas, Coca-Cola, Dr. Pepper, things like that.
They're sweet.
But they are going to, any soda that has syrup in it like that, or coloring, is going to affect the smell and flavor of your pee.
I also would not do it if you were on chemotherapy.
Well, no. Any medications or drugs or therapies you're on are going to affect the smell and or flavor. Yes, you can still play it. You can still pee on somebody's body. You can still be peed on. As far as ingesting, that is your choice. It is not recommended unless you really know the status of your partner and you are comfortable going there. Pissing on somebody is very different than pissing in somebody. That is your personal choice. And again, you need to know the status of the person, what diseases they have, what diseases they don't have, if they do or don't know, any medications they're taking, medical treatments. I mean, even if you take a decongestant, if you take Claritin, that can affect the flavor.
Or just think about this fact. If someone's taking aspirin and you're allergic to aspirin,
right,
it's going to be carried in the urine.
That I
exactly.
So I'm not so sure Claritin would change the flavor.
But the fact that if someone's taking a medicine
exactly.
or, you know,
yeah.
let's say they eat they ate a peanut butter sandwich earlier in the day.
And you're allergic to peanuts.
Some, you know, it's...
Yeah. But what you need to keep in mind as far as your diet is what goes in and goes out the other end. Lighter vegetables, think salad ingredients, except for acidic things like tomatoes. Raw vegetables, white meats, clear sodas like Sprite, ginger ale, 7-Up. Teas, if they're light teas like Earl Grey or green tea or something like that, they're not going to really affect the flavor. Dark meats, things like that, yes, they are. Liquor, beer, you always hear people tanking up with beer. Beer is a good thing because it doesn't add or subtract any flavor. Hard liquors will change the flavor if you're into drinking. What are you doing now?
You don't want to know.
Exactly. You do not want to know.
Okay. I don't want to know.
We'll tell you later.
Fine. But, I mean, if you are planning to, if you're planning to recycle, know who you're playing with. It is a judgment call on your part and on their part, and it's something that should be negotiated. If you're going to urinate on somebody or you're going to be urinated on, just as if ingesting it, if you have open sores, cuts, abrasions on your skin, if you just shaved and you cut yourself shaving, don't play this game. Because you're exchanging body fluid, period, in a subject. So whatever they've got, you can get. Any questions on water sports?
At this point in time, there is still, and I'm not trying to make it sound like it's safe, but there is no substantiated evidence of the fact that HIV can be passed by urine.
Correct. There is no documented case of anybody getting HIV or any STD that I know of.
But I still would not recommend it.
From this type of play. However, again, that breaks down to your personal choice. If you and the person you're playing with, you negotiate drinking or internally ingesting, that is your choice. As long as you understand the situation, you understand the risks, I don't think it's an acceptable risk. That's my personal judgment. That may not be somebody else's.
I have to disagree. If it's HIV, that has not been substantiated. Syphilis, gonorrhea, so on and so forth, yes, you can.
But again, I'm saying that comes down to a personal choice.
Yeah, I mean, anything of what we're talking about
is a personal choice.
With this
choice.
Thing, if you understand the risks and you're willing to accept the risks
and the consequences.
And the consequences of those, and your partner does too, that's what it comes down to.
But again, this scene, it is a fetish. It is no different than needle play, knife play, handballing. There is the possibility.
Electric play.
There is the possibility for an exchange of fluid.
Yeah.
And where there's a possibility for the exchange of bodily fluids, that risk is there. Electricity, no, there's not, okay?
Well, it could you depend
could
burn, on
what
you
even
if you burn.
Blister the skin,
all right, but you're blistering your own skin. My blood is not going to drip on you. My urine is not going to drip on you.
Yeah, but if you get a burn and then you get into water sports.
And what did I just say? If you've got open abrasions, blisters, or cuts on your body, don't do it.
Well, but
or
we were talking
risk
about...
Yeah, but
that's what I'm saying.
That's the important thing with anything of this. You have to... It's, you know, safe, sane, and consensual, and know what you're getting into. And not just the scene of someone sticking a needle in, but what comes after it. And what, you know, the person you're dealing with, of what they may have. Because, you know... An accidental needle prick on the top can transfer in there. You have to understand what you're getting into, no matter if it's vanilla up to the wildest kink that you can't get on in the United States.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, you know, it's just like with just plain old sex, you know, if the condom breaks, whoops.
Yeah.
What do you do? That's a risk that you take. That is a risk you choose to take. Yes, I'm being as safe as I can be. Accidents happen. Yeah. A condom can break. You can prick yourself with a needle. You popped a zit earlier, and now you've got an open wound, and I didn't know it, and you forgot about it.
You had Mexican food for dinner, and you cut your mouth open with a tortilla chip.
Right. I mean, there, you got bleeding gums. You know, it could be anything. Those are the
risks. That's a big issue.
Yeah. I mean, those are risks that you need to be aware of when you decide whether or not to play any of these scenes. And that goes just, you know,
plain old
a Texas panning,
yeah.
You know, which is, you know, if, for those of you who know, most of you know what a Texas panning is. But oral sex without a condom. Are your gums bleeding? Do you have any open sores in your mouth? Do they have any sores or cuts or abrasions on them? If your partner shaves that area, when did they shave it? Are there any cuts, abrasions? Has the razor burn healed? I mean, you need to know. And these are choices you have to make instantly on a daily basis. So just be aware of what you're doing. Play as safely and as sanely as you can so you can keep playing for years and years and years. And this play is supposed to be about an exploration of the physical and mental and spiritual self. It's not supposed to kill you.
Yeah.
So, we'll leave it at that. Why don't we cut to a couple more songs and we'll go to Roundtable?
Okay, do you want to go to stay with Royce?
Yeah, let's stay with Rahsaan. This is Rahsaan Murphy. She was formerly the lead singer for Moloko, and this is her solo album.
And we'll be back in a little bit with Roundtable.
I turned the other way. I never turn you down. You turn me on. Don't speak out every meaning. I don't belong to you. You don't belong to me. So don't hold on too tight. Happy you love,
break your heart. You didn't wake up when we died.
Welcome back, KPFT 90.1. It's Leather Ties with Daddy Bear Robert. I'm going to be closing out so we can do some roundtable. The music we just listened to was Rahsaan Murphy, was the first song. And the second song we just listened to is a group called September. They're from Belgium. And I think you can actually hear their this song, that particular single, in clubs now here in America, in Houston.
Yeah, I hear it on the radio.
And on the radio a little bit. And I've actually, on Logo Channel, they actually show the video. I was shocked that I actually saw decent dance music on Logo. So the group is called September. This is their third or fourth album, I believe. So check it out. There's not a bad song on that album.
So
there's
is this
a bad song.
Is this called the round table because we're round?
Yeah, something like that.
No, well, let's see. Chris, you're kind of round. Virgin, you're kind of... Well, yeah, you got the little ball belly going on there. And
the Buddha belly.
And Robert's got a little bit of belly here.
Yeah, I got some belly going. Oh, yeah, and Charlie Brown's in here, too. And he's pretty round.
I never noticed Robert has some boobies.
Yeah, I got bear boobs. I got...
Moobs.
He calls them my moobs. My man boobs. My moobs. We were actually running around the university... the shopping area, the outdoor university over in West U, and they had, what was that shop? Victoria's Secret. And he said, should we go in there and see if they have any boob bras? And I said, yeah, let me just go in there and say, hey, do y'all have any moob bras in there to support my moobs? And I was just waiting for one of the checkout girls to go, what's a moob? And I said, man boob. You know,
I think you're going to have to go to a different Victoria's for that. But anyways.
Yeah.
That would be online.
Victoria Online.
Yeah. It may just be easier to get in contact with Falcon and see what they got over at Lane Bryant.
Yeah. Or over at...
Lane Bryant.
Wow.
Or Ronnie Cabaret.
For
they
you,
may have
maybe.
Something.
Oh, please. Give me a break, all of you.
I said that you say, may have something at a Ronnie Cabaret, though.
You could probably get it custom-made at certain leather places.
Yeah. No, I'll just ask Bubbles for a Zitsy Bitsy Teeny Weeny Yellow.
No.
Because the last time Bubbles wore it, he didn't actually wear it. It was painted on because they were at the Lone Star Nudist.
So my God. I loved him seeing that.
It was disgusting.
That was funny. Anyway, once again, for
Bubbles, I love you, but if you're listening, it was not pretty.
The next fun leather event coming up is going to be Fire Dance 22. The Fire Dancers Houston are hosting their fifth. The Fire Dancers are turning five this year. Fire Dancers Houston.
Yay.
But this will be Fire Dance 22. The Fire Dancers tribe, San Antonio, Dallas, Houston, have been around for 22 years, and this is going to be their 22nd anniversary. And Fire Dance is going to be November 7th, 8th, and 9th. It's $35 registration, if I remember correctly. That includes all kinds of yummy buffet meals, foods, receptions, games, run pen, and they're going to be doing a show. that scares me. And Justin left. I wanted to ask him about the show, if they're going to be wearing leather tutus. But I guess we're just going to have to show up and but find out what the show is all about.
That would probably be a surprise, just like Louis.
Yeah. Yeah, like Chris and the nuns had it throwing condoms at people to say, Jesus love you on the condom. That was too funny.
Don't forget the little fans.
No, that was actually a last-minute thing. During rehearsal, dress rehearsals at Rich's, they still had the go-go cages up. And the Big Men's Club were doing the skin, and we were like, are they keeping the go-go cages up? And the Rich's, they were like, we don't know. Can we get him to keep the go-go cages up? Because the minute we walked in the door, Chris gets in a go-go cage and says, and I said, wouldn't it be fun with nuns in the go-go cage, go-go nuns? And I thought, wouldn't it be funny if they were throwing condoms at people? And Chris goes, oh, yeah, we can do that. So Chris, they got bags of condoms dressed up as nuns. They were go-go nuns throwing condoms at the crowd.
Oh, but Chris was cute, though. It was hilarious.
That was a fun skit.
I liked Robert.
I don't know how they did it, but the Houston Big Men's Club talked me into being in their number, and I ended up going from Christian choir director to a pair of fishnets and a leather jock by the end of the number.
And I remember having to put those fishnet hose on him. It was so disgusting.
It was so cute, though. It was.
I bought two pairs just in case I ripped one and just in case he liked it, because then I wore the other
pair. We can throw the other pair away, okay?
No, well, the sad part was those fishnet hose, I had to rip the crotch out of them because of all of my body jewelry, because my body jewelry kept getting caught in the fishnet hose. Oh, so I had to rip the hose open to get everything through, and then I had to put my cod piece on. It's like everybody upstairs in the dressing room were just turning around looking at me. What are you doing? I said, jewelry? Ow.
It was crotchless pantyhose.
Yeah. Crotchless fishnets. Anyway, let's get to round table.
Got some interesting stuff here. I actually prepared it this week.
Scary
thought. Wow.
We're actually organized?
Somewhat.
I didn't know that was possible in this show.
Well, you know, I try.
Well, roundtable, at least.
Gay men should be forced to have health warning tattoos.
That's full of
BS. If trailer park women get them, I'll get one.
No, those are called tramp stamps.
A leading clergyman is facing calls for his resignation after a series of outspoken remarks about gay men.
Is that
yes?
Is that that freak-eyed guy? His eyes are lopsided?
Yeah,
One eye is higher than the other. It kind of looks like W.C. Fields without the nose.
Yeah, this is coming out across the wire from London, it appears. It says, gay men should be forced to wear, to have health warning tattoos, says Stock Exchange chaplain.
Okay, I would say we should all get tattoos
Chris,
for a good time
know?
Call, but...
I'm sorry. He insisted it was meant as a joke and has nothing against gay men. In his blog, he said, let us make it obligatory for homosexuals to have their backsides tattooed with the slogan, sodomy can seriously damage your health.
It can?
Really? Because I know a lot of straight women that are into anal, so I mean...
Yeah, well, you know...
In addition, the obscene gay pride parades and carnivals should be banned, as they give rise to passive corruption, comparable to passive smoking.
Really? And the St. Patrick's Day parade with all those drunk people in green and puking all over the place is better?
And puking green beer on top of it.
This picture looks like an older version of Alfred E. Newman.
Ooh, yeah, you're right. He does.
It looks like he has...
One eye is almost a full inch higher than the other on his face. It's creepy.
It looks like he probably suffered burn at a younger age.
So this is a pastor or a...
He's a vicar.
He's
a reverend, chaplain to the London Stock Exchange.
Well.
He's probably doing a lot of praying over there.
You know why so many men in England are gay? Because most of the women look like Camilla Parker.
Camilla Parker Bowles.
You know, whatever.
Prince Charles proved, yes, you can marry your horse.
Between Dumbo and the horse face, I mean, come on. With those ears, please.
Boy, he was stupid when he divorced Diana.
Hey, we could have used his ears during Ike. It would have blocked all the wind.
Especially around our house.
Yeah.
But he did produce some cute sons, though.
That's because they look like mother.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with they don't look like him.
Well, no,
thank God.
The redhead does.
Well, Prince
no,
Harry,
he doesn't.
Prince Harry does look like his father, but Charles is not his father.
Milkman.
No. I still say the boys look a whole lot better than their daddy.
Mm-hmm. I would say that, too.
So there's, you know, a little news out of ring. You know, we've talked in the past here about Daniel Radcliffe doing Equus.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The rumors are of who the next performer who wants to be the Equus star.
Please tell me it's not Clay Gagan.
No.
No, it's not Gagan.
Zac Efron.
Ooh.
That would be
the twink from a High School Musical series.
Yeah.
Yeah, here you go, Jimmy.
Yeah, Zac Efron. Yeah, well, he's hot.
But who's going to buy him a straight? I'm sorry.
Might have to get ahead in his game, but...
Hey, you want to get a game on his head. That's what you're
doing. Same difference.
But supposedly he's going to be doing a remake of Footloose. Just what we need is another remake.
Oh, the musical version.
Oh, and what, is Kevin Bacon going to play his dad this time? Or
maybe play the Reverend.
No, Kevin Bacon will play his mother. Yeah.
Did you say Elvis was going to do this?
Costello. Elvis Costello.
Oh, that Costello. I mean, that Elvis. I'm like, ooh, this is interesting. He's coming back from the dead.
Speaking of remakes, they're trying to bring back Ab Fab.
Oh, I know.
Absolutely Fabulous.
Okay.
No. Okay, listen to me, listen to me, you tired fags. Let it die. Okay, the original show was good enough. You don't need any more episodes.
Now, I mean, they tried doing a version of it on CBS called High Society.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens when Hollywood gets a hold of something.
Yeah. But fortunately with this one, this is going to have Jennifer Saunders is going to be working on this one.
Okay. At least might be interesting then.
Yeah.
Well, it's just like the show, I don't know if you watch BBC, but Little Britain.
I
now have Little Britain is hysterical. Well, they now have HBO got the rights to Little Britain in America. I actually caught the last episode. It was actually funny because they let the guys do what they wanted to do.
Well,
and they kept all the original characters from Little Britain. They just brought them to America.
Oh, cool.
It is funny.
But Queer as Folk was good when
the
UK. Was UK, but when they brought it to the US, it was still good.
Yeah.
I got a twisted part of that. Anyone see the FX show, The Sons of Anarchy?
Mm-mm.
It's a twisted. I was watching it. It's about a motorcycle gang. And
I've seen promos for it, but no, I haven't watched it.
Have you seen the young blonde guy in there?
Uh-huh. What about
that's him? Nathan from Queer as Folk UK.
Oh, that's right. You're right. It is him, isn't it?
The twink.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Justin. Justin,
yes.
Well, the Justin character.
UK right. Version.
His name was Nathan.
Yeah.
And now he's playing a motorcycle guy.
Ooh. That has to be pretty funny.
It's a twisted thing of looking at going, because I saw the name, it's like Charlie Hoonan, and it kind of rung a bell.
Yeah. Well, you know what I think is weird? Speaking of crossover... across the sea, Russell Crowe. I mean, why was anybody surprised he beat that poor bellhop up with a phone? I mean, his first movie was Romper Stomper.
Yeah.
Where he played a Nazi skinhead.
Okay, what's next?
About a book ban. Virginia-based Christian activists are crying censorship after a local library rejected their ex-gay books.
Oh, good.
Oh, well,
what bookstore?
Oh, once.
I'll support that bookstore.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a second. Do you remember seeing the big
billboard
in Houston?
Oh, yeah.
That said, our church can save you?
Mm-hmm.
And it was talking about gays?
Yeah.
Okay, you know my favorite billboard while we're talking about billboards. Have you seen this billboard? It's off I-10. It says, it's a billboard for an electrolysis place, and it's like... 713, are you Harry?
Oh my gosh.
That is their phone. And that's the whole billboard. It says, call 713, it's the letter R, the letter U, Harry. And it's for electrolysis and hair removal. It's like,
oh my God.
No. If you're going to have a phone number that says, are you Harry, that means, no, I need some more. Put some on me. You know, transplant. Okay. I thought that was the weirdest billboard for a hair removal place was Are You Harry for their phone number. I think that's funny.
And the other day I saw an ad, speaking of Harry, where they you know, they were talking initially about women, but then they were saying, and men that want to be less hairy. I'm thinking, God, we're not talking about bears, are we?
No. We're talking about the Circuit Boys over at South Beach.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, the funny thing is, the people who were protesting the book being censored wore the shirts, closing books shuts out ideas.
Okay. And the shuts out ideas of what?
Well, you know, of saying that, let's see here. Backed by Anti-Gay Family Research Council, organizers in Fairfax, Virginia sent reviews of Pray Away the Gay books to their local library. But the library coordinator flatly refused to consider the books, saying donations should not be at the expense of minority populations or make the readers feel inferior.
Good.
These books were not research-based, and there were not facts to back it up.
Very good.
You know, I don't understand, with all of the Christian bookstores across the country and across the world, why they need to try to get a book like that in the library. I mean, they wouldn't let a book in the library that said, you know, that was pro-Nazi or something.
So is this like when my dad sat there and told me I had to go to a psychiatrist because that would fix me?
Yeah, basically they're saying they can turn you straight, turn you back straight.
Yeah, no, it doesn't work that way.
Like, it's a choice. Why would somebody make a choice of wanting to be persecuted?
No, that's why I've always said there, you know, it would be like someone saying they wanted to be an African-American in 1950s Alabama.
Yeah.
How about a Jewish, gay...
Russian... Tattooed electric... electricity freak.
Yeah, tattooed electricity freak.
Yeah.
But they're also praying to a man who wandered around the desert with 12 hunky men. So.
That's horrible.
And was Jewish. And they and were Jewish.
Yeah, Jesus was a Jew, people. I hate to tell you Christians, but Jesus was a Jew, okay?
He was one of the chosen people.
Wait till Christmas. We play Jesus Was a Dreidel Spinner.
He was. He really was.
The DeFaros didn't know what they were getting into when they visited the State University of New York Fredonia campus earlier this week. Jim DeFaro and his daughter, both of Syracuse, stood in the grass near the Reed Library steps holding signs, beginning shortly before noon on Tuesday. Jim wore aviator glasses and clutched a megaphone, which he used to address the rapidly expanding group, and held a large poster that read, "Warning, do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, or adulterers, or sodomites, nor thieves, nor coveters, whatever the hell it says." The students, especially the Pride Alliance, wouldn't stand for this outcry. They staged an impromptu protest, which lasted until they left the campus at 5:30 p.m.
Oh, my God.
Okay, fornication includes oral sex, includes any kind of sex outside of marriage. Anything other than the act of procreation is fornication.
Yeah.
In the eyes of the church.
In their mind.
This was from Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10.
Okay, which was written by who? A man, a human.
Yeah. Many of the exchanges occurred between Jim via megaphone and the crowd throughout the afternoon. Jim would begin to shout, "There is no biological basis," and the crowd would reply, "Shut up, Jim." As they packed up their signs, the group sang All You Need Is Love by the Beatles.
Oh.
And an even familiar song from the children's television show Barney, I Love You, You Love Me.
Oh, God, a purple dinosaur that's gay.
Uh-huh. And all this was something that just kind of came to being by announcing that there's some people were going to come on campus and cause some problems, and everybody showed up to protest.
Well, you know what?
Good for them. Good.
The Jews are the chosen people, so nobody else is going to heaven unless you're Jewish.
All right, well, that's wrapping
but
it up.
But the Jews don't believe in heaven, so.
We're coming up here close to the end of the hour. It's time for, at the top will be Zydeco Pasale. We'll be back next week with more of the insanity that is After Hours. You can reach us by email at afterhours@kpft.org. It's time now for your PSAs.
This fall, KPFT wants you to join us in a green fun drive. What's a green fun drive? It's when you put your care for the planet into practice. When you make your pledge to KPFT during our fall pledge drive starting October 15th. To save time and the environment with this green fun drive, pay your pledge with a credit card. When you call in your pledge, tell our phone volunteers you'd like to accept your thank you letter via email rather than postal mail. Optionally, you can just pass on the gift and keep all of the envelopes, labels, and adhesives
initiatives out of landfills as well. Every membership drive is an opportunity for the community to come together for a common goal. During this membership drive, KPFT is taking advantage of this strong community connection to make our community a little greener. A green pledge works for everyone. Thanks for doing your part for the planet. And 90.1 KPFT, Houston.
The morals of our city. Questions will be provided by KPFT News and various KPFT reporters and programmers. I'm Dean Becker, and I will host this debate on Tuesday, October 14th, from noon to 1 p.m. on KPFT Houston.
KPFT Houston.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.